If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Woo! Yeah, it's another Matic Monday for you on K-Rock. Anyway, I'm Rodney, and here's this, a band.
You know, how come y'all won't just leave a brother alone? Even if he did do it, so what? It happened. Let it go.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. I'm out of here. Say goodnight, and hopefully I'll get some sleep. I doubt it. Never get sleep where I live. I'm a robot. But anyway, I'm out of here, and hopefully everything will work out.
Isn't he, crazy?
And did you know that the OC Weekly has staples in their weekly? They do.
And now,
aloha, and welcome to
our feature presentation.
I didn't realize they had staples in that paper.
That's crazy.
Big news.
Man, oh man. I need some time off. I can't deal with it.
You can't process that.
I can't be presented with something that huge and then expect to just move on.
Work, Mackie.
How's the weekend, everybody? Lisa?
All theater, all weekend.
I am so glad I'm not you.
I was at the theater on Friday night and Saturday night, and my family went on Sunday because, you know, I'm in the second half of this play called The Next Great Thing. It's a musical. And since I'm in the second half, I get to watch the first half from the audience.
Right.
But I've never seen the second half.
Right.
Except from backstage. So I brought my family and we all watched it, and I wept. There's a sad little thing at the end.
You wept.
Yeah.
Sorry I asked. Bean, was that a mistake? Should I have asked? Well,
it was
if
fun,
you had,
if
you had remembered that she was in a play, it would have been advisable to not ask, because then she's going to talk about it again.
That's my bad.
Go to my website, lisamay.net, and check out all the information. You should go. It's such a good show.
That she's barely in.
That I'm barely in. Don't go for me. Just go.
Okay.
Lisa,
okay.
Don't you feel a little bit like they're using you as a publicity whore?
A little
by
bit?
By putting you in for 40 seconds so that you'll talk about it?
It's completely clear that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Does that hurt your feelings a little bit? I mean,
no.
Wouldn't it be nice if they gave you a sizable role because they like you and they think you're good?
I will tell you that there was a role, actually, that I was in mind for, and it's a pretty big role in the show. And
right.
Then it was discovered I could not sing.
Did you think you could sing?
No, I knew I couldn't sing.
Okay, well that's gonna work against you in a musical.
In a
I
musical,
guess,
I know.
If you can't sing.
Listen, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I mean it is a publicity stunt to be sure, but I love being a part of this. It's my friend that wrote it, and it's so good. So I'm happy to do it.
Did you go see the Mamma Mia, Lisa?
No, I haven't had time.
Because I hear that Pierce Brosnan is not much of a singer either, but they put him in to, you know, attract a certain segment of the audience
the
to that film,
audience.
Too.
He's one I of heard the... he looked very uncomfortable singing, too.
Yeah. Is he one of the singers in that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the male Brosnan. Lead in the thing, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, Meryl Streep can sing, but I heard some clips of her singing, and I wasn't all that impressed either. The reviews weren't great.
I think I think they're goofy in that movie. I think that's what it is. It's supposed to be exuberance rather than technical perfection,
sure.
I think, is
well,
what they're shooting
sense.
For.
That makes sense. I'll get to it. How about Batman? I didn't see that
How
either.
About, I could not be less interested in Mamma Mia, but
sure.
Batman I loved.
Really?
It was a little long.
Yeah.
But I loved it. Beanie didn't see it. Mike, do you
no,
see it?
No way.
Bean, are you ever going to see it?
No.
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to it, but it's insane to try to go this weekend.
Sure.
It's not even worth it.
Even if I weren't busy, I think I would have waited a little bit. I want to see it in IMAX anyway.
Yeah, that's good. I did go to a theater that had a huge screen and great sound, and some movies
close,
that's
right?
important for. But yeah, I'd like to see it in IMAX too still.
Yeah.
I have friends who have already gone twice.
They
were so excited about it, loved it so much, they couldn't wait to go. I heard from another friend who went to see it at midnight Friday and would have gone to see it again at 3 a.m. had it not been sold out.
No kidding. Turned right around and
sold
got back in?
Sold out at 3 a.m.
Yeah. People are pretty rabid. Apparently, this is one of those movies that's not all hype. It deserves the adoration that it's receiving, which is nice for a change.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Nice that something's popular and also great.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
Not very often at all, no.
Well, and when it doesn't happen, it encourages more bad.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because they get away with it.
They do.
Which is annoying.
But Dark Knight, I think, made $200 billion.
That's a record,
in
right?
one weekend. I'm sure Ralph will give us the exact number, but it's hovering right around $200 billion.
And they say we're in a recession.
Right.
He'll run down the box office, but I will tell you the one stat that I heard that was most telling for Dark Knight this weekend is that it already made 2/3 of the domestic box office of Batman Begins this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Of the first one in its entirety?
Yes.
Wow.
In its entire run in theaters. It already made 2/3 of that this weekend.
Oh, my God.
So somewhere cocaine is being snorted.
You think?
That's a good guess.
Somewhere at Warner Brothers, perhaps in director Christopher Nolan's house, certainly in Christian Bale's house, there's definitely heavy drug use happening this Monday morning.
It does seem like it would be pretty good news.
Sure.
After working that hard on something.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good times.
People work just as hard on crappy movies, and they come and go in like a weekend.
Yeah.
So,
well, look at the Hellboy, for God's sakes. People were excited about the Hellboy, liked the Hellboy. Hellboy was number one, just vanished, just off the screen
now.
Yeah,
it did.
You're
right.
Because, you know, it's Batman. Move over.
Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of movies I wanted to see that may be gone.
Already gone.
I hadn't thought about that. Damn it.
Oh, I mean, I'm just being metaphorical. Of course, you can still see Hellboy, but in terms of any kind of public consciousness now, that's old news now.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
And I got to tell you, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
No, you've never liked her very much.
I don't.
She's sexy.
It's not that I don't like her. I don't buy that Batman and the district attorney, playing by Aaron Eckhart, is that his name?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Are both head over heels in love with her. You know what I mean? Like that, in that position, that should be somebody amazing because both of these guys, their lives are going to end if they can't have her.
Yeah.
And then she shows up and you go, no, not buying that. Good actress. I have no problem with her acting or anything else, just not hot.
Maybe some men like smart women.
Yeah, but
Lisa hopes.
Smart is sexy.
But can't they be both?
I'm not
asking for stupid. Well, she is.
She's cute.
No.
I didn't see her in this movie, but in real life, she's cute.
No. No, she's not. She's got the Stuart Scott eyes, first of all.
Oh.
What's that?
Help.
That's a perfect analogy.
Think Doto. Early days.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of droopy.
Sportscaster on ESPN, and Kevin hit it right on the nose.
Really? Okay.
And they're getting worse, too. I don't know if you saw the ESPYs last night.
It's not just lazy. It's like you said, droopy. Sad frog or something.
One of his eyes, Stuart Scott, is sliding off his face. But Maggie Gyllenhaal, she's not unattractive. You wouldn't say, wow, she's ugly. But
right.
Then they put her in the role where everyone's supposed to fall in love with her, you know, the sexy, hot, whatever. And you go, no.
Interesting.
You know what? You go. That's what I think they would say. I think Batman would say to him, you know what? Go ahead. You
I'm
have
all
her.
Right.
And then the district attorney would go, you know, Batman, you go ahead. I'm not, I don't need her.
Was Katie Holmes hot enough in the first movie for you?
Yeah.
For Batman to be into?
Yeah.
Because Batman could have anyone, let's face it.
Right, he could. I think so. I mean, they grew up as kids. That's how he was in love with her. She's hotter than Maggie Gyllenhaal. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I don't have anything against her acting, but not in that role. That's all I'm saying.
Mike is hoping to marry into the Gyllenhaal family at some point.
Yeah.
Oh.
He'll make that happen. He will. All right, it's a Monday morning. It is the 21st of Do You Like It in the Ass?
That's using your ass.
And let me tell you about today's show.
Okay.
We have John Henson in.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He's the host, one of the hosts of Wipeout, which is one of my new favorite shows because people just wipe out. And there's nothing funnier than human beings just planting face first. There's nothing funnier than that.
No, I agree.
I saw a promo for that. I saw about 10 seconds of it, a promo, and I was stunned that it was on television. Then I remembered, oh yeah, that's what they put on TV now. That qualifies as a show now.
Yes.
Why were you?
What are you
stunned?
Talking about?
Because I just couldn't believe that it got made and that it was on a network.
What's any stranger than that than any game show?
The scene that I saw, I can't even remember now. I saw it a couple of weeks ago, but it looked like people like flying through the air and in and up in sand. I don't even remember what it was,
that
but it was
right.
Just I couldn't believe it was a show though. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Maybe in context,
you should shut your pie hole.
I prefaced it by saying I only saw the promo for it, and I just couldn't believe that that was a show. But maybe in context, that stuff all works. I don't know.
My list of I can't believe it's a show is very long. That's not on it though.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm looking forward to hearing from John what it's all about.
Okay,
carpoolers, for example. higher on that list than
Wipeout.
Because they drive in the carpool lane.
And they Zoom.
No, they don't. We have Frank Shamrock in the studio today.
Uh-oh.
He is talking about the CBS MMA broadcast. Mm-hmm. And they have a fight on, is it Friday
Saturday.
Or Saturday?
Saturday.
So we got that coming up. We got Bean's blog coming up.
Oh.
How dare you.
If you missed it on Friday, we talked to Forrest Griffin, who, of course, is the UFC light heavyweight. He's the guy that that beat Rampage before he went on his Rampage and is in jail. So anyway, we've got highlights of that coming up just after 6 o'clock. And we will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz.
This is a big, big week on K-Rock because we are giving away tickets to all the great summer shows, including Nine Inch Nails, also the Warped Tour, Radiohead, Rockin' Tours, Beck, Project Revolution. Coming up in a little while here on the Kevin and Bean program, we'll give you Jack Johnson tickets, just as an example. So we got those for you all week long, all those great shows every day here on K-Rock. It's 5:48, Monday morning. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Whatever with your tickets. Whatever.
What tickets do you have?
I've got tickets, too.
All right.
You're not the only one with tickets. Oh, look at me. Oh, we're giving away tickets. I'm giving away tickets, too. How about that? Me,
well,
this guy.
You fooled me.
Who's who's got two thumbs and is giving away tickets? This guy.
Well, let's hear what tickets you have before we get too excited.
How about the special K-Rock screening of a little movie called Step Brothers? How about that?
All right. Oh, that's pretty good.
How funny do those guys look?
They look funny.
Step Brothers, the return of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly working together again. You loved them in Talladega Nights. You loved them as two-thirds of the Green Team, which I watched again over the weekend and just wet myself.
That is very funny.
Literally wet my pants. And I'm talking with urine.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. I'm not saying I spilled something on myself.
Yeah, I don't think anyone thought
this,
that.
This fluid came from inside me.
I think people understand.
Literally.
Well, of the options, I guess we'll be pleased that it's urine.
You know, someone, a buddy of mine sent me an email over the weekend. Old friend of mine from Philadelphia, long-standing friendship, and he sent me something very sweet, and I thought it was very nice and touching that he thought of me. He said, friendship is like peeing your pants. Everyone can see it. But only you can feel the warm feeling it gives you.
That is so nice.
Isn't that nice?
That is really nice.
A real
nice
Hallmark card right there.
That's great. Yeah.
Anyway, I've got tickets to the special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers. It's going to happen at the Arclight, which is a cool place to see a movie.
The best.
In Hollywood. It is June the 24th. If you'd like to go, I'll be giving away tickets all day long. So here is the first pair of tickets I'll be giving away. A little trivia question, though. You're going to have to earn it. Trivia question about our buddy Will Ferrell, of course, who's just in the show show last week, along with John C. Reilly. We had a great time with them. Will's a local boy, grew up in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Once attended an event that Kevin and Bean were hosting at a nightclub. Actually showed up to see them.
I know.
You don't know? I haven't asked the question yet. What do you know?
Okay, go
what
ahead.
Do you
no,
know, Lisa?
You go ahead. Well, I know it's July 24th and not June 24th.
Oh, did I say that?
I do know that.
Did I say June 24th?
Yeah, it's all right.
You have to get to the tube
Everyone
of history
knows.
To see the screening. Yes, it's July 24th.
Okay.
Anyway, as I said, he's a local boy. What local high school did Will Ferrell attend? What high school did he attend? Local boy. Give me the answer now. 1-800-520-1067. First person through with the correct answer wins a pair of tickets to the very special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers, which, now that Dark Knight's out of the way, is the movie I'm most looking forward to.
On Friday, yeah.
I'm going to laugh my ass off. Comes out this Friday. Speaking of Dark Knight, well, what can you say?
It did all right.
A lot of people seem to go to this film. That much we know. Made in its debut weekend, $155.3 million.
Oh, damn.
Most weekends, the number one movie is $18-19 million.
An impressive opening weekend box office would be $40 million, $50
million. That's way impressive.
That's like, wow, that's a smash hit. $155.3 million, making it, as you can imagine, the record-breaking film for a regular three-day weekend, the number one money earner ever.
How about that?
Previous record holder? Any guesses?
Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3. Well done, Psycho Mike. But that only made $151 million in its debut weekend.
Pussy.
Loser. This one made $155. It's breaking all kinds of records. It's the most numbers of screens a movie's ever appeared on. Biggest money ever made on an opening day. Friday, I think Friday made over $55 million just on Friday alone. That's from the Thursday midnight screenings all the way through.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Plus, it's better than Spider-Man 3.
Oh, way better than Spider-Man 3.
Helped.
Huge difference.
And, by the way, it's 2.5 hours, which means you have fewer screenings than, a shorter movie.
Of that.
Doesn't the last half hour drag for you a little bit?
Yeah. I think so.
It feels like that's sort of a natural ending, 2 hours in.
It's the pacing. It slows down, comes to a nice end, and you're like,
like, oh, that was it. What? Huh?
And then it goes and goes.
Oh, okay. Now we got to follow this guy around for a while. Okay.
It's like a guy getting shot in the leg and he's limping for the last half hour. You know,
he's going to get there, but.
And here's my only problem with the film, and I said it after I saw it to the buddy I went to see it with. I don't see why they feel obligated to try to jam two bad guys into every one of these movies.
I didn't understand that either. They just threw that one away.
The first Batman, it was Nicholson as the Joker, right, versus Michael Keaton. Strong, you know, simple, clean, through line, strong narrative. And then, ever since then, they've had to put two in. They put Penguin and Catwoman in Batman Returns,
that's right,
the second Keaton movie. And ever since then, it seems to be the template. You have to put two bad guys in these movies.
I thought they were setting up the next movie,
which would have been awesome. I couldn't wait for the third if that had been the case. But it kind of, I think it diffuses the energy of the film a little bit. I don't know why they continue to do that. But all that's just, you know, splitting hairs. All
having said that,
it's real good.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia was number two. And all things considered, when you think that Batman, you know, was selling out, and most people going to the movies this weekend were going to see Dark Knight, did pretty well in its debut weekend as well. Made almost $30 million at number two.
Wow.
That
which
is
for
impressive.
A movie musical
yeah.
with a you know, a niche audience, it did really well for itself.
That's an all-time box office musical opening, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, beat Hairspray.
It set a record, too. Hard to believe.
Hairspray was the one previous, but Mamma Mia nudged that out. Hancock was number three.
When will that movie be gone?
Journey to the Center of Lisa May was number four. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the Center of the Earth.
Yeah.
Very different. Hellboy 2 was number five. Then Wall-E. Oh, I love Welly. Welly was good. Space Chimps only made $7 million in its debut. Good enough to make it number seven this weekend. Wanted, Get Smart, and Kung Fu Panda.
Hey.
Running out to your top ten at the box office this weekend. Well, you know they brought Rocky back, right?
Sure.
And
sure.
then Rambo.
Sure. That's right.
And Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Seems to be the new trend now, as opposed to remakes, is to trot out old, tried-and-true movie characters and give them another shot. Well, would you be interested in seeing Tom Cruise's Top Gun character Maverick return for another role?
Yes!
Easy, Psycho Mike. They probably won't have the male topless volleyball scene that you love so much.
Never mind.
I don't know. I thought that was a classic, but I think he's got so much baggage now.
Can you see any Tom Cruise movie now without thinking just about his life versus his performance?
I don't think so.
Anyway, they're talking now about doing another Top Gun. Maverick will return. Tom Cruise as Maverick, only this time he'll be the instructor at the prestigious air school, the
sure.
Top Gun air school.
Because
he's all growed up. And he'll be trying to wrangle in a hotshot female pilot who lives by her own rules.
No, she does not.
She's an outlaw.
Wow.
You're a danger to yourself and everyone else you share the air with. I can give you the line from the movie now.
I bet he bangs her in the movie.
I bet he does in the movie.
Yeah,
in the movie only.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We have a winner already?
We do. We have Justin in Irvine. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
Justin, where did local boy Will Ferrell go to high school?
He went to University High School in Irvine.
University High in Irvine, California. You're absolutely right. Congratulations. Stay on the line. We'll give you all the details, but you are going to the K-Rock special screening of Step Brothers at the Arclight on the 24th of July. And the movie, as I said, comes out this weekend on Friday. Thanks, man.
Fantastic.
For those who are wondering, the reference Ralph made to Will Ferrell showing up at an early Kevin and Bean event was also in Irvine. It was at the nightclub Kokomo's.
Where we got caught peeing outside by the police.
Yes, we did. So much history at Kokomo's for you.
Classy duo.
We are.
And peeing in the parking lot was the event that inspired the Beach Boys song Kokomo, actually.
That's correct. Yeah. That is correct.
We're peeing in the parking lot. Ooh, I want a leak. Great. Britney Spears and Kevin Federline have apparently finally hashed out a permanent custody agreement with their kids. People magazine says that Kevin Federline will receive $20,000 a month in child support.
A month?
A month.
$20,000. It's absurd.
She will get two visits per week with one overnight stay with the kids.
Wow, she's really not going to have custody. Huh?
And in addition, she gets an extra night by the end of the year. Once she gets one extra night a year, ooh, well, that's going to bond her to the kids to no end, that extra night. So congratulations to K-Fed. He gets custody and a couple bucks.
Couple,
yeah,
a couple bucks, $20,000.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
He certainly is. Heather Locklear checked herself out of the Sierra Tucson Clinic over the 4th of July holiday weekend. That was a rehab she was attending. It's about 30 days sooner than everyone thought she would stay in.
Uh-oh.
She was in for apparently cocaine,
alcohol and sleeping pill addictions. National Enquirer says she left sooner than her friends or family would have liked, but apparently Heather decided to check herself out of rehab when she realized that no one cared that she went into rehab. Didn't get a lot of press. I didn't even know she was in there.
So it was just the press stunt.
Nobody noticed, and so she said, what the hell am I doing here? I'm going to go do a couple lines and a couple shooters of Jaeger.
Kevin, is it help us out here from the man on the inside. Is it tough to get out of rehab? Is it tough to check yourself out?
No.
They let you go?
Yeah, they'll let you out. They just won't let you back in.
It's hard to get out with both of your slippers. I've heard that. You usually end up with just one slipper. We'll have to have Kevin tell his famous breaking out of rehab story.
I would like to hear it again as well.
That's a funny story.
I need to say that.
Yeah. Vern Troyer's got problems at home.
Yeah.
Let's face it, Vern Troyer's got problems wherever he may be.
No kidding.
But right now they're at home. You know the 22-year-old ex-girlfriend who leaked that sex tape to the world?
Right, right.
Well, she won't leave his house.
What?
She's still living in his house while he's still living in his house.
Why?
I have no idea, but he tells Us Weekly that she's renting one of the rooms in his home and refuses to move.
And he's charging a girlfriend rent?
Well, he is now that they've broken up.
She
probably said, look, we've broken up. I've got no place to go. Can I still stay here? And he probably said, yeah, okay, just, pay me some rent. So now that agreement is still in effect, and she won't move out, even in the face of this publicity fiasco about the sex tape, and now he's trying to evict her.
What's happening with the sex tape now? Is it available, or is it still off the market?
I have no idea.
Mike, you're the celebrity sex tape expert.
You know, I usually am the celebrity sex tape expert, but this is one that I just don't want to watch.
He's a midget. Do you know how small he is?
I have been purposely avoiding it myself. I've never seen a scene from it.
I saw the clips Harvey put up on TMZ, and I said to myself, that's all I really need to see.
Oh,
and
okay.
I never researched it any further. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's troubling on every level.
I heard she wanted too much money for it, and so far it's not coming out.
That's too bad.
They came up a little short.
Whoa!
Regarding the offer, is that what happened? Oh, God, it's going to be back on Monday, refreshed and strong. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor-comedian Robin Williams celebrates his 57th birthday. Currently, Robin is working with our pal Bobcat, who's written and directing a new film that Robin is starring in, and the premise is very dark and sounds very funny and may be just what Robin Williams needs to revive his career.
They have been best friends forever, and it's cool that he's doing a movie for Bob.
It sure is.
They're filming that here in Seattle. I'm hoping to run into them at some point.
If they come through your house?
If they happen to be shooting in your barn, maybe you'll run into them.
I love Bob. You know that. I'd love to... That's a cup of coffee with them.
That's not our point. Our point is you don't go anywhere.
So how are you going to run into anyone?
You never know, man. They may be out on
the
street in front of my house.
Look, we do know.
You don't know, man.
We do know. And you're not running into anyone.
They could shoot a scene in your family room and you wouldn't see them.
That's true. Because you would scurry under the floorboards like a mouse.
That's
John
a good point.
John Lovitz, comedian, is 51 years old today. Saw someone this weekend, actually, coincidentally, who told me they saw John Lovitz doing his nightclub act, his stand-up act, said was hilarious, which you wouldn't expect.
We're talking about John Lovitz?
John Lovitz, yeah.
Does it include beating up Andy Dick, or is that just a one-time deal?
I think it's just a one-off. Actor Josh Hartnett is 30 years old today, and reggae singer Damian Marley of the legendary Marley reggae family is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm sorry. My paperwork's a mess here, Lisa. I couldn't say. Who was that last song by?
It was Bush. God almighty, you have got to get over it.
I hear there's no substitute for Bush.
That's what I understand. It's time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air for a Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at 323-520-AFRO. I'm always excited on Monday mornings because our listeners have had all weekend long to call and leave quality gold for us.
Yeah, I had a nightmare over the weekend that we were talking about a Kevin and Bean porn. And then I woke up and realized, oh, thank God it was just a nightmare.
Hey, guys, I've got the name for your Kevin and Bean porno movie. Kevin and Bean present, how are you going to come at us like that?
I like it.
I like it.
How are you
going to
come at us like that? We say that all the time.
Terrific.
Not bad.
Why are you so bad? Why are you so bad?
I don't think there's an answer to that.
No.
Yeah. You know, Dimitri, the guy that called and left the message and said, I'm losing your number. I'm going to give you till 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Right?
Yes.
Crazy man.
Oh, you guys still have to have Dimitri in or ask Dimitri. I need a picture of that guy. It's my idol right there. Everything I ever needed to learn about how to pick up chicks is now one of those two messages. Oh, he's the greatest.
We're going to play those again for you later on today. Got a lot of requests from people who want to pass that around, want to share that with their friends. But it's interesting, Kevin. We didn't mention this at the time, but Psycho Mike, very quiet while we were listening to Dimitri's voicemails, the way he talks to women. And I think maybe Mike was in in simpatico with him, perhaps.
Sure, he probably felt every word.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Hi, Lisa. This is Dimitri. I am just me.
Okay.
That's about right.
That's great. Thank you for that call. You know, we were talking to that dude Roper last week.
About Richard Roper from Mad Movies, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we were talking about all kinds of, it was Debunked was the name of the book.
Yes.
And this guy has a question for him.
Hey, guys, you didn't ask that Roper guy about the theory the women who like it in the wear white pants. I need to know if that's true or not.
We didn't ask him because that is true. That's been scientifically proven.
Absolutely.
Women who wear white pants, and we get this from a reliable source, always like it from behind.
I got an email from a listener who wanted clarification. He's like, what about a white skirt? What about white shorts? What about like a really light khaki? The back door.
It's just pants.
That's what I said.
Toto is a crazy mofo Asian. Toto. Toto. He will come to your house and stab you in the larynx. Toto. Toto.
Did he rhyme Asian and larynx?
I wouldn't try it, but okay.
Hey, guys. I just want to know, why is Mike laughing like a freaking orangutan? Yesterday when you guys were talking to Christian Bale, all I hear is Mike, what a retard.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know why he makes that sound. He loves Christian Bale. He's got a man crush on Christian Bale.
Yeah.
And it scares us. We'll be honest.
Please die, Psycho Mike. I really, really hate you.
Wow, you're really getting the love today.
Congratulations, man.
Join the club.
Good work.
Hi, Lisa May. I think you're pretty. You're pretty hot too, Ralph.
Oh, good. Props for Ralph. That's good. You know, the law changed on July 1st about holding a cell phone while you drive.
You know what else should be outlawed while you're driving? How about driving while you're eating? How about driving while putting on makeup? How about driving with a freaking dog on your lap? How about driving with a passenger with their dirty, callousy, stinky feet on the dashboard?
I would pass all those.
That guy spends too much time on the road. Don't tell you that.
Like it.
And we've said many times, if you don't like this show, you know, a little weed, come back and give it another try.
Oh, man, you guys are funny, man. Man, I mean, like, wow, you guys are funny. Wow. I don't know if you can tell, man, but
nope.
I'm pretty high right now.
We can't tell. But thanks for the call. And that is the best way to enjoy the Kevin and Bean. It's really the only way to enjoy the Kevin and Bean show. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
I was a little bit surprised, Kevin, that you were able to buy Batman tickets for this weekend. All the reports were sold out as far as the eye can see for as long as you live.
Yeah, and I was worried about that. But then I went at noon on Friday, and I guess they were talking about nighttime screenings. But I did see on Jimmy Kimmel, he had a clip from the East Coast where a reporter went out and she was supposed to ask people about how sold out it was and get man on the street interviews, which we love, of course.
Did you worry that you'd be able to get tickets?
Now, that's the question. Were you worried because it's so sold out, there's no tickets available, so were you worried? And he says,
not really.
These are diehard fans, Tamron, determined, and that determination paid off. They literally just walked up to the box office and bought two tickets.
All right, that's determination right there.
Oh, my God.
That is determination.
Ever.
Those people aren't real fans.
What's going on here?
What's that sound like?
I don't know. You have the phone engaged, dude. Who's that?
I hacked into your system again.
Roland?
Yes. Roland?
Yes.
Roland? Just because we were talking about The Dark Knight, you thought you should cut into the middle of our conversation?
Yes, those people aren't real fans.
Why are you whispering?
Why are you whispering?
Because I'm currently in my 39th screening of The Dark Knight.
Really? You're 39?
I'm calling you from inside.
Well, you shouldn't be on the phone in a movie theater. That's rude to everybody else.
It's okay. Most of the people here are asleep.
Okay. What is the part in the movie that you're at right now?
It just started. We're in the bank heist. Oh. When the Joker and his crew are robbing the mob bank.
Yes.
Okay.
And the dude comes out shooting.
William Fichtner plays the mobster.
Right.
Look, I understand. With a shotgun.
Okay, but I know that you liked the movie.
Then he comes out shooting with a shotgun.
Right, okay.
And then the Joker...
We know where you are.
We don't know it, but the Joker's actually in with his crew.
Okay, we know what part of the movie you're talking about.
They keep talking about the Joker. They don't think that he's with them.
Right, but he is.
He is.
And then he shoots that dude.
Yeah.
Right, we got that. We got that.
He doesn't really shoot him. He puts a hand grenade in his mouth.
Oh, that's right, and ties it to the back of the bus.
Ties it to the back of the school bus.
Yeah.
Hey, Roland.
Wait.
Are you telling... We're not in the theater. We don't have to... They can't hear us.
I love this part.
Okay.
Well, then why don't you hang up and go watch it?
Because I have to talk to you guys.
But, Roland, here's what I don't understand.
It's the greatest movie ever made.
Okay, but isn't it...
I started watching it Thursday at midnight. I haven't stopped watching it since.
Oh,
right, that's my point, though, is once you've seen it the fifth time, and then the tenth time, and then the 15th time, I mean, at some point, don't you just want to go outside and get some air?
No. Not until I memorize every line and scene from the film.
Really?
Because I'm going to Comic-Con this weekend.
Oh, this must be like your holiday
and
of all
I must
holidays.
Be the champion of Dark Knight.
And is there a competition to name a champion of Dark Knight?
No.
Okay.
That may be a lack of planning on my part.
It sounds like it, yeah.
All right, well, you enjoy the movie. We don't want to ruin everybody else's experience.
Can you call me a doctor? Because I've had nothing but Red Bull and malted milk balls for 3 days.
Yeah, that doesn't sound healthy at all.
I'm starting to see things.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I ran into Heath Ledger in the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't think you did. I don't think that's unlikely.
He's got a wide stance.
Okay. We'll get back to you with that.
Stabbing his foot. Yeah. Saying, why so serious? No. So we had sex.
No. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I hope it was Heath Ledger.
I'm sure it was. Thank you, Roland. In the next hour, we have Frank Shamrock talking about the MMA fight this Saturday night on CBS. So that is coming up at 6:47 right now.
I am worried he's going to kick me in the back of the head. You know how he is. Also, plenty of tickets for you to win all week long on K-Rock, including Nine Inch Nails, also the Warped Tour, Radiohead, Raconteurs, Beck, Project Revolution, and between 7 and 8, we have Jack Johnson tickets that you can win coming up, too. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
What's the haps?
I got tickets. I got tickets to give away to a very special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers, starring our pals Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. We've known Will for a while. He's been on the show a couple times.
He's a great guy.
I've known him for like a dozen years because we were working in the trenches of sketch comedy together back in the day when I was at the Groundlings and I was at Acme Comedy Theater. We were sort of arch enemies. And then he went on to a successful career and I came to work for you.
Wow.
Did you have the nose for talent, Ralph, at that time? Did you peg him as being a guy who was going all the way?
We all did. Will was a god.
The breakout star.
Was a sketch comedy god at the Groundlings, and everyone was like, dude, did you hear what he did? Did you hear what Ferrell did the other night? It was an amazing thing. He did an improv. I mean, stories about him were rampant.
So it was no surprise when he got the SNL call.
Yeah. Not at all. Although, you never know.
Sure.
A lot of people said, you know, Will's going to Saturday Night Live, ooh. Because at the time, it really wasn't very good. It got good again when he started. Remember with that cast?
Sure.
With him and Sherry O'Terry and those people, they kind of revived the show. But a lot of us thought, like, wow, I thought he would just stay in L.A. and do movies or television stuff. We thought he'd go right into that.
Right.
But turns out his career path worked out just fine.
Was there any other young dudes around that era with you guys in sketch comedy here in L.A. that everybody thought, you know, there's a lot of buzz around too that didn't pan out?
Ralph. Yeah, everybody, Ralph. Except for Will. I mean, most of us in that. Oh, there was Anna Gasteyer, who ended up being on Saturday Night Live, too.
Yeah.
She was with that group over at the Groundlings. Let's see, who else did we know was going someplace? That was about it.
Corolla, by the way. How about Corolla back then?
Yeah, Corolla. Well,
whatever happened to him?
I don't know. I think he's doing Taco Bell commercials now.
Got out of showbiz.
Yeah. But anyway, no, we couldn't be happier for him. Anyway, that's a whole other story. Anyway, the movie opens on the 25th, this Friday, but we've got a special screening on the 24th at the Arclight. If you'd like to attend, be caller number 10 right now. 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 10. We'll score a pair of tickets to the K-Rock screening of Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. And how nice was John C. Reilly, by the way?
He's the best.
Couldn't have been
terrific
when he came in. Couldn't have been funnier. Very, very cool, dude. Speaking of movies, how about this Dark Knight?
How about this Dark Knight?
I heard you talking to that kid you guys talked to in the theater there.
Yeah, Roland.
That nerdy guy.
Yeah, he's crazy.
A lot of people going to see it multiple times, I get the feeling, because it made $155.4 million this weekend.
Yeah.
That's crazy money.
That is a record, all-time record, for a film being released on a non-holiday weekend.
I saw it and want to see it again. I still have that desire. Like, I'm not sure I got my head around everything, and it was really great, and special effects, and looks, and great music. And
did you like it more than Batman Begins? the first one?
I don't know. I really liked the first one.
I thought it was stronger than the first one.
It's possible. I mean, it's really good, but it's pretty long.
Did you see it on IMAX?
I didn't.
My recommendation?
No.
So you just don't listen to what I said?
That's correct.
That's what you're saying.
I went to a big theater screen with good sound.
That's good.
In contrast to most theaters where they
it's
have...
better than having them show it on the back of a sheet in a junkyard.
That's
listening
correct.
To an AM radio.
But IMAX is too far away, so I just figured I'd see it a little more locally.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe you can build one. Maybe you can have one put on the house.
An IMAX
on
the back
theater.
Of my head.
Yeah, that's true. Mamma Mia came in at number 2 in the box office derby this weekend. $27.6 million, and it's been pretty good, considering everyone went to see Dark Knight.
What do you think the chances are that guys got their chicks to go to Dark Knight, and then they showed up, and it was sold out, and then they went, and then the girl goes, and Mamma Mia should play
it. I want to see this.
All right.
You know, I've been telling you I want to see this. You didn't go to Sex and the City with me. The least you could do is go see Mamma Mia with me.
So right. Then they ended up going into Mamma Mia.
Probably a chance of that.
There was some bleed over, I'm sure. Hancock was number 3. Journey to the Center of the Earth was number 4. Hellboy 5. Wall-E was number 6. Space Chimps, in its debut, made only $7.4 million, but that was still good enough to make it number 7 at the box office this weekend. Then Wanted, Get Smart, and Kung Fu Panda.
Hey!
Rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Jessica Simpson!
Yeah.
Made her big-time country-western showbiz debut over the weekend at a big country festival. I believe the festival was called Country Thunder, was the name of the festival.
Country Thunder.
Country Thunder. It was a week-long celebration of all things country.
Boobs.
Oh, that's why they don't give me nuclear warheads, by the way. That's why they won't let me have the bomb. Because if I knew Country Thunder was going on and they were all there in one place, sweet mushroom cloud.
That sounds perfect for you.
Over Country Thunder.
You would love that.
Anyway.
By the way, you know the Seattle...
I went to Country Thunder and it was wonderful.
No. I was just going to tell you guys, if you haven't heard yet, the Seattle Supersonics that moved to Oklahoma City starting next season are going to be known as the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's their name.
Yes.
That sounds like a arena football league.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it? Yeah, you're right about that.
That's funny.
Anyway, at the Country Thunder Festival in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin... Seriously, if we nuked Twin Lake, Wisconsin, who would notice? Who would notice that Twin Lakes was no longer on the map?
Probably
hey,
no
whatever
one.
Happened to Twin Lakes, Wisconsin? Oh, it's gone, didn't you hear?
Just disappeared.
Big accident. Jessica Simpson took the stage and was warmly greeted by a thunderous round of boos.
Really?
Whoa! Reports the local paper.
Nice melons.
Many audience members found her attempt to cross over into country irritating.
Oh, really?
And that her vocals lacked a southern sound, said one critic. She's from Texas! How could she not manage the southern sound?
Yeah, that's a good
But she
question.
Was irritating when she sang pop music, too, though.
Yeah,
I
she
thought,
was.
I thought the country fans would be dim enough not to pick up on that and would just start applauding, because they tend to like blondes with big boobs, regardless of what they sound like.
You've said it many times. They'll take anything.
They'll take almost anyone singing
really
their music. Yeah. But apparently not Jessica. I did a little research and found a story, and they interviewed some of the locals.
Great.
Mike Rodriguez, 31, from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, said, by the way, the fact that there's Mexicans in Wisconsin, yeah, I know, that's shocking and a little dismay.
This is made up.
Just because she's dating Tony Romo, don't make her country, he said in an interview.
Hell yeah.
She doesn't fit in with country, and I'd have to drink a lot of beer to sit through one of her concerts, says Mike.
Wow.
Zach Schlott.
Come on.
19 of Palatine, Illinois, said she's an embarrassment to country music.
That's
if
saying
you're
something.
You're an embarrassment to country music. You just got to take yourself out.
Yeah.
There's no hope for you.
I forgot how annoying her voice was. Now that Bean brings it up that we didn't like it either, I remember that over-singing, that breathy.
I wish we had a clip of her singing.
Oh.
Because she does that. Way over vibrato, breathy,
kind of pinched,
inexplicable pronunciation of words that don't sound like words. It's just horrible on every level.
Bean, back me up on this, I think, because he's a fan of country music, too. With country music, it's not necessarily being from the South that makes your authenticity. I mean, there's a lot of very successful country artists that are from
Keith Urban's from Australia, for God's sakes.
Bonnie Raitt's from Burbank, and she's, considered to be one of the better country artists in history. So I think it's just the fact that Jessica sucks more than that.
Well, there is that.
That's what it is. She sucks, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for Tony Romo.
Hey, what the?
Oh.
Matt Damon. Here's an interesting story, ladies. It's not just the female celebrities who have to worry about weight loss and looking good on the camera. Matt Damon's got a bit of a problem.
How come?
In Touch magazine says he gained 40 pounds for his role in The Informant, the movie he just shot.
Yeah, we've seen photos of that.
Yeah, he's looking pretty doughy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He's got to do reshoots for a movie he shot before that called The Green Zone. It's a military movie where he plays a super fit soldier.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Now he's got to lose 40 pounds in a month.
Oh,
that's easy.
Dude.
40 pounds in a month.
Month.
Right?
No problem.
How do you do that?
Stick your fingers down your throat every day. That's it.
There's no healthy way to do that, that's for sure.
Fatty.
That's
40 pounds in a month.
40 pounds. Here's the thing, though. Being a naturally lean guy who's in shape, putting the weight on for a performance, odds are that weight will come off easier than someone who is just naturally heavy and 40 pounds heavier than trying to get that weight off. So I'm guessing he'll probably be able to do it, but still, that's got to be rough. That's just sitting in a steam room running 24 hours a day with no food.
Yeah. And then they're going to have to reshoot for the fat one, and he's going to have to gain it.
And then he will literally explode. At some point, he'll be walking down the street just bursting into flames.
Remember when Christian Bale lost all that weight for The Machinist? Didn't he lose like half his body weight or something, Mike? It was something crazy, right?
That's the most extreme weight loss / weight gain I've ever seen. He lost all that weight for The Machinist and then had to gain 85 pounds back to play Batman,
Batman
movie.
Yeah. Is that why you love him so much, Mike?
Yeah.
Because he can do everything?
Yeah.
He loves him for a lot of reasons.
I love him for his physique.
I was thinking this weekend, Batman, probably one of the biggest American pop culture icons ever. Got to be up there with Superman and a couple
certainly.
Others.
Right? Sure.
You got a Brit playing Batman. You got a Brit playing Commissioner Gordon, his best friend on the police force. You got a Brit playing Alfred, of course, which is naturally because that character is British. You got a Brit directing. What's up with that?
What are you saying?
With all the Brits.
What's wrong with Americans?
I'm just saying, can you imagine if an American played James Bond, an American played M, an American was directing the James Bond movie? Oh, they'd have a fit.
They'd lose their minds.
They'd come back and invade the colonies again. They wouldn't be able to accept it. But no, we're Americans, so we allow them to do it because we are weak.
What are you going to do with your boot?
He's trying to get you to sing that song, that country song.
Oh. I'm going to stick my American boot up the foreign ass.
Speaking of movies, Thunder this weekend.
Ralph, congratulations to your friend Frank Falcon from San Gabriel. He won your tickets to Step Brothers, K-Rock screening Thursday night ahead of an opening with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly this Friday.
So glad the Falc won. I've been waiting for him to win something for some time now. Congratulations, Falc. And finally,
yes,
someone has decided it's time to remake the movie 10.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's 1979 when that movie was made. The comedy about a regular guy who's going through a midlife crisis and becomes obsessed with a smoking hot newlywed when he's on vacation is being remade, according to Daily Variety.
Who's the smoking hot chick?
They're going to do a global talent search to try to find the new 10. As you know, the original 10 was Bo Derek. That was the movie that kind of put her on the map. She was an unknown at the time when they cast her.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. And Dudley Moore was the lead, of course, in that film. Very funny, funny actor. He's one of my faves.
Whoever's doing the casting for that, if you need some extra help, I mean, we have some time after 10 a.m. That's all I'm saying.
I think we're going to be plenty busy casting the porn movie, Kevin. I don't know if we can take on too many casting responsibilities.
Well, I'm just saying I'm willing to help.
We're just booked up solid.
That's all I'm saying.
The casting couch is full. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Damian Marley is 30 years old today. So I know this might be a lot to ask, but I suggest our Carrick listeners, smoke a bowl in his honor.
They don't have any idea what you're talking about when you say smoke a bowl.
Josh Hartnett turns 30 as well. Comedian John Lovitz is 51 years old today.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Remember when everyone used to say that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He is 51, and Robin Williams turns 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So you like that band, Linkin Park? Maybe you'd like to see the Project Revolution. We can hook you up this week on K-Rock, along with the Warped Tour, Radiohead, Raconteurs, Beck, Nine Inch Nails, Jack Johnson tickets for you coming up later on this hour. Who's the kid in the studio?
That is Lightning is his name. He's a young
Lightning.
Man.
Hey, guys.
What do you do here at K-Rock?
You know, down the hallway now. Working on the internet, basically.
Yeah, doing krock.com, doing the streaming, and doing the new K-Rock shop.
Occasionally, by the way, Lightning's name, of course, he was the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show for many, many years, and we were sorry to lose him, but occasionally his name will come up on the show, and we'll offhandedly mention, oh, it's a shame Lightning passed away, or it's too bad he's no longer with it. And people sometimes get very upset, oh my God, what happened to Lightning? But we're here to tell you that he's fine, he's just 90 feet down the hall working at krock.com.
Now, we haven't been talking about the K-Rock shop yet. right?
No, yeah, this is something that we launched just a couple of weeks ago and kept it kind of quiet, wanted to work the bugs out. You know, a lot of everyone shops online, and we figured that, you know, K-Rock needs an official store, but we, you know, guys, we struggle.
Of course.
And everything we launch on krock.com fails at some point.
Fails miserably, right. Probably yeah. 3 to 4 times.
Yeah. Absolutely. Everything we do, the first attempt is just a mess. So this one we wanted to kind of live and breathe a little bit on its own. And we finally got it up to where I think it's ready to be announced.
Which means it's going to go down within the next hour.
Oh, yeah. We're going to crush it. Yeah. It's going to fall to pieces.
I'm sure just this mention of KROQ.com and the KROQ store, I'm sure will crash the server. But it's funny because we've joked for years and years. KROQ really was, I think I can safely say, literally the last radio station in any city of any size to get a website begin with. I don't think we had a website until about 2003, okay? we were almost literally the last major market radio station to start streaming, for instance, which is something that the audience wanted very much. So it only makes sense that we would wait until the internet retail boom is virtually dead before we launch a K-Rock Star.
Yeah. Now tell us about the K-Rock shop. What can you buy there?
You know, we've got Rock of the 80s shirts, Rock of the 90s shirts. I mean, really how this happened is, you know, I go and do these lame gigs all the time and, you know, at various grand openings, and we couldn't stand having guys come up and go, hey, can you have that shirt? Remember that revolutionized your shirt? You should come out with that again. And so we just put a lot of those designs with, you know, a whole host of new designs together. Mm-hmm. And we offered it up on krockshop.com. You can get to it through the front door or through,
the front door is lingo that the internet guys use.
The front page of krock.com.
The front page of krock, about halfway down on the right, it says krock shop. And there's a little picture of Rodney smoking a pipe.
Hmm. Now,
and that's
design,
a special shirt. That's a very super special shirt.
This one's so special, I'm not claiming any responsibility for
it. Everyone is jumping off of this boat. But you guys remember the tattoo that that dude got on his leg of
listener, yeah,
of Rodney smoking a pipe,
mm-hmm.
wearing slippers on his star.
Yes,
yeah, that picture right there.
Here's the shirt. Actually, Lisa,
that's
right here.
That best is picture
awesome.
Ever.
Little hairy legs.
So what happens is about 6 days ago, Kevin walks into my office one day. Goes, wouldn't it be funny if I made a shirt of Rodney and we put it on the store? And I said, no, not unless you get his approval. And he says, let's do it.
Because that's what Kevin does.
Right. Well, it's a tribute to Rodney. I don't think anyone will mind.
Yeah, because it's got his star right here.
Exactly.
It's celebrating his star.
If you have, you got to see what it looks like because
it's the best picture ever.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, him smoking a pipe.
Our friend Paul Lee drew this. He's a master cartoonist, and it's a good caricature of him, but I can't imagine that Rodney's going to be too happy.
Well, he's not going to be.
And Kevin got Mr. Lee's permission to use his shirt to sell it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the management, we ran this through.
Did you run it by anybody but Lightning, Kevin?
Because 10 or 12 Lightning. Times we ran it through management.
Here's the thing is that I go, when our GM or our PD finds out about this, they're not
going to love it.
No, because they're going to get phone calls from freaking Rodney.
All right. Well, I paid for it with my own money, and I'm going to give any money that it's the sell of it to charity, to our own charity, to my wife's charity, right. who uses 100% of it for actual charity things. But, that's my idea.
So, yeah,
but there's
a
lot of other stuff up there as well. There's hats.
Yeah, I mean, we have sweatshirts, we have embroidered stuff, we've got
hoodies,
a lot of tees. I mean, we're starting with the basics. We're trying to work out the bugs. We don't want to create anything we can't, that's not going to please the K-Rock populace, but
I think former producer Lightning, tell me about, if you would, the Kevin and Bean limited edition t-shirt that we're offering now at K-Rock Shop.
Yes, we've produced a small number of these things. It's called the Super Special VIP Limited Edition One of a Kind Collectible Authentic Handcrafted Pesticide Free Organic Free Range Kosher Frost Brewed Kid Tested Mother Approved Cruelty Free American Made Certified Official T-shirt of Kevin and Bean.
And that would be on the front of the shirt.
But we have to write Kevin and Bean in with the marker.
So yeah, we left a blank spot, and Kevin and Bean physically have to write each one in Kevin and Bean's names.
Although it could be Kat. I mean, you could probably just have whoever
that's
you
true.
Want sign
yeah.
it.
That's true. Yeah,
be Jed.
You guys aren't here in a week or something?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, someone else can sign
Jed
it.
Jed could finger paint it, you know?
We've watched. Now, so here's the deal, though. 144 of this shirt that I'm holding right now, the VIP shirt.
Right.
And 144 of the Rodney shirt.
Right.
Buy it now, or it's going to get shut down by the time you get to work. I promise you.
Well, we don't promise you that, but we're guessing.
I'm guessing. It's all fun and games until I walk down the hallway and Mr. Weatherby goes...
Only the Rodney shirt is not... you know, station-sponsored, authorized.
Right.
Okay. Only the Rodney shirt is going to be closed down. But the other one, the Kevin and Bean shirt, there are only 144 of those as well.
They think we're joking.
No,
like, this is going to be bad. This is bad for me.
No, that's the best shirt ever.
This is not a good way to launch my career.
What is wrong with you? Look at that. That's the best shirt ever.
I love the shirt.
Anyone
I don't love
who
the
does
fact that I'm going to get hosed when I walk down the office.
Well, it was your idea.
It was not my idea, Dick.
No, I witnessed it. It was your
idea. KRockShop.com, please save my job.
Go there whenever you want. And, you know, here's how we plan things. We say, tell us when it seems like the economy is at its weakest point. That's when we're going to put up a store.
Well done, boys.
That's the way we do it. That's the way we roll. Because you don't have any money, so now we want to take more.
So, gas is cheap, so you've got all that extra money laying around. So from you can go to KRockShop.com or just go to KRock.com, and from the front page you can get to the store. And you can buy, as Lightning said, the Rock of the 80s tees, Rock of the 90s, tons of Revolutionize Your Ears, just tons of old school, new school shirts, and the Rodney shirt, and the limited edition Kevin and Bean shirt. They're all on sale right now, so... I'm just watching my email to see the first email that says the shop has crashed. Can't get through. My computer blew up. Trying to buy something.
And by the way, it only takes about 12 people for that to happen. Yeah. We do not have big bandwidth.
Well, it was nice working with you guys.
All right.
Good seeing you.
Nice talking to you, Light.
My name is Frank Shamrock. I turned pro in 8 months, and I just went for it, balls to the wall. And there's nothing that is more beautiful than the painted canvas of just totally kicking someone's ass.
What kind of you started in fighting?
I didn't want to go to college.
When was the last time you got beaten up?
Grade school.
What happened to that guy?
He probably went to college.
Rate your quickness.
10.
Rate your strength.
10.
Technique.
10.
Rate your endurance.
10.
Rate your confidence.
11.
What's something we'd never guess about you?
I cry when the national anthem comes on.
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Let's see if he weeps.
You got a lot of 10 from that judge, dude.
Why you guys
got
to play that this early? That's so wrong.
That's funny.
So wrong.
Frank Shamrock joins us in the studios of the world-famous K-Rock. CBS, 9 o'clock Saturday night. It's, it's CBS Elite XC Saturday Night Fights. It's Stockton Arena in California.
I'm just checking.
How are you going to come at him like that?
Come on. I'm still recovering from the bowl I smoked right in the green room. You guys are killing me here.
Frank, how did it end up? In what weird parallel universe world are we living where CBS, the old folks network, has MMA on Saturday nights? How did this happen?
You know what? I think they got so old they decided to get young again.
Yeah.
I think that was their thing. You know, they just said, this is it. We got to do something. And here we are.
And this is the Elite XC Saturday Night Fights. And tell us about this Saturday night.
Well, it's huge. I mean, we got Robbie Lawler and Scott Smith as our middleweight title match, and they had a really weird ending last time, a big poke in the eye. It was kind of anticlimactic, but definitely good heat on that. There's two title matches on the card, which is pretty strong. And of course, we got the girls. The girls steal the show every single time.
They really do.
They're amazing.
Really?
It's kind of weird.
I heard you guys talk about that. Why don't you talk about?
Oh no, there was. We have. We talked. I think there was a couple of fights ago.
We talked privately. About the Corrado fight a lot, I think.
No, you know what it is. Girls have a different energy because they don't fight. Men fight all the time. Girls don't fight unless they're fighting for their life. So when they do fight, it's a whole other vibe.
It is.
Yeah,
it really is.
I can see that.
And they're hot, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, surprisingly, for women fighters, they are kind of hot, you don't necessarily expect, you know?
They're hot. And women beating each other up is hot. Even my wife says it's hot.
There's only one there's one girl fight on Saturday night, and that's Shayna Baszler and Christiane Cyborg.
Yep.
Cyborg is really her last name, or it's a fighting name?
You know, I think it might be a fighting name. Yeah. I don't know. She's a hard chick, like.
She like a Terminator came back
she's
from the future.
She's kind of like a Terminator
chick.
Yeah, so I think she just kind of assumed that name at some point.
Now, this series, this Elite XC, has not been on for very long. Isn't this only like the third week or something like that on CBS? Right.
This is our second show.
Second one.
Oh, second show. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. And early ratings on week one, encouraging. You pleased with the reception it's getting in the mainstream audience?
We absolutely killed it. I think we averaged about 6.5 million on our show. We did really, really well. You know, it was kind of CBS entered into it very gingerly. You know, we are a much older network. And so, you know, we had a lot of fluff in our first show.
That bugged me.
This show, it bugged me too.
I was like,
and they made me wear a tie. And that was like way over. Me in a tie. Come on.
This
and
is
then they brought Morley Safer out to wrestle Andy Rooney. And you just thought, well, that's just embarrassing now.
They were like, they were talking to, it sounded to me like they were talking to a complete audience of retards.
Well,
they're going,
you know,
M-A stands for. It's like, what is this?
Yeah, sadly, we produced a show that, you know, it was for people that we figured
that
didn't know what
familiar.
Was going on.
Right.
And you know, the response was, hey, we know what's going on, so give us the real deal. This Saturday night is a real deal. I mean, you got four really, really good A-level MMA fights.
Tell us about Antonio Bigfoot Silva.
God, that guy's a giant. I mean, literally like a giant. Like his toe is as big as my wrist. It's like bizarro. But he's incredibly athletic for 240 pounds. I mean, he's like a...
Wow, 240 pounds.
And he cuts down. You know, he's like naturally like 260. Like the guy literally is it. And I'm a normal sized guy, so I get next to him. And I mean, he's just a giant. But he's a super nice guy. And he's going up against Justin Eilers. Justin Eilers is kind of a journeyman, but a huge puncher and a good wrestler. And he always comes to fight. So, I mean, I think Antonio's the favorite in that. But
just because of his size,
I mean, you can squeeze the guy's head and probably beat him.
he seems like one of those guys you always see in the movies where the other guy lays a punch on him as hard as he can, and he just stands there and
smiles.
Like, what was that?
Yeah,
I didn't even feel that. Mm-hmm. All right, well, it's this Saturday night, CBS Elite XC. Frank Shamrock is in the studios with us, and we'll take a quick break and come right back. Won't you let me know? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:33.
That's the song I'm coming out into the ring when I'm MMA fighter. I'm going to use that song right there.
That's intimidation.
I can't wait for that day.
Frank Shamrock, very entertaining young man in the studio with us here this morning, talking about the CBS Elite XC Saturday night fight, which is happening this Saturday night at 9 o'clock on CBS. By the way, we had Forrest Griffin in here from the UFC on Friday, I guess it was. And he was talking about a fight where he got his arm broken, and he stayed in the fight and kept going. And I understand that's not atypical of you guys that are MMAers. I mean, it's pretty common to fight hurt, isn't it, Frank?
It's really common, actually. I fought with torn ACL, MCL, and PCL.
That's a lot of CLs, man.
Every CL was torn. I fought with that. In my last fight, I broke my arm in the first round, and then fought until the third round when the bones displaced. So,
wow!
I
mean,
How do people? Broken bones.
You know, you get used to the pain.
Does it not hurt you like it does a normal person?
It does, but it's like, you know, you bump your arm, it hurts. I bump my arm every day. So
right.
It's like I know when there's real pain, when things are broken, when tendons are torn.
Well, broken is real pain.
Yeah, it's real. You know,
could you tell it was broken when you did it?
I could tell when it was broken because when I punched, it didn't. Usually, a good punch vibrates from your fist all the way to your toe.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it would vibrate and then it would get lost in the break.
Uh-oh.
And then the bones would shake.
Gross.
So what was hurting was the bones were shaking because of the vibration, and that felt like somebody was like jabbing a knife or something between my bones.
But mentally, you're so
that's
not too bad. But mentally, you've got to be, I guess, tough enough that you're not going to tap no matter what.
Well,
has to be the mindset.
It's something you build up to. I mean, I'll tap. If you threaten to break me and I'm going to, you know, hurt my career,
right,
I will tap 100%. But I also know where that line is.
Right.
And I know that, you know, that tendon is tearing, but I don't think it's that bad of a deal. Like, you know what I mean? Like I think my hand broke, but it doesn't, you know, I can still punch. So that's... I don't know.
Wow.
I'm used to it. To me, it's no big deal. It's
your like, occupational hazard. Now, when you started, we were just talking during the song. You started in the
disturbing.
In the Japanese, the pancrase fighting, right? The league. And you fought every 6 weeks.
Every 6 weeks.
You would fly over to Japan and compete in that league every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It seems like you would be injured from day one.
I never went into a fight not being injured. And at the time, we were fighting at the highest level in a game that mainly involves submission holds. So you're talking every week, your feet, your knees, your ankles, you know, your elbows, your shoulders are getting little tears and little strains on it.
And then you'd fly back here and start working out.
Recover from the partying, recover from the jet lag. And then, about a week later, we'd start. I mean, it was literally about 2.5 years of just a total blur. I mean, I woke up, you know, 2.5 years later and was like, wow, I'm a champ. And
what just happened?
This is amazing. And I speak Japanese. It's incredible.
Frank, you have to laugh out loud when you come across SportsCenter or something and you see a baseball player who's missing 5 starts because he's got a hangnail. I mean, you just have to just laugh at the difference in what you go through for your sport.
Well, and I think that's why a lot of people appreciate what we do. They know. I mean, you can see it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like crazy.
It is.
And people appreciate that. People appreciate what we put on the line.
Now, the last time you put it on the line for the UFC was 99?
99, Tito Ortiz.
And yep. you were a five-time champion.
Yep, yep.
And then you decided to retire.
I retired.
Yeah. What is it? Was it over money? I mean, it seems
No.
It seems like the UFC is getting away with paying guys way less than they should, at least up until this point.
Yeah, well, they're definitely not paying what they should. When I got out of the sport, it wasn't really about the money. It was that the sport was, in 99, we were kicked off of pay-per-view. We were only on satellite. We had the smallest audience ever. And I was the Michael Jordan of the sport at that time.
Excellent.
The problem,
with
yeah.
the smallest.
With the there was
no
like
good.
Five, it was five fans, right?
But they loved you. All five of them loved you.
They still love me, right? The problem was I realized, you know, I need to make a judgment call. Do I stay in the sport and grind it out, knowing that my lifespan, you know, is may or may not make it into the mainstream? Or do I wait and hope the sport catches up to the mainstream?
You could feel the mainstream was going to happen, but it was just taking too long.
It just took too long, and I'm 35 now, so I still got a few years left. If I'd have fought all those years, I'd be an old man by now.
Right.
You know, so I realized it was a gamble for me because I went out at the very peak of my career, at the highest I could ever be, and I literally walked away, and I waited 5 years and came back. And it was the best move I ever did. It was the smartest thing I ever did.
You didn't second guess it like Brett Favre has been for a while? You didn't say, I miss it? Or
I committed to it. And, you know, I'm a family man, so I got a family to feed and stuff. So I went home and I went to work.
You know, What did you do for 5 years?
I taught martial arts. I taught police, military, private training, personal training, public speaking. I mean, you name it, I did it. Yeah. I humped it for 5 years to, you know, make sure that we were okay. And, you know, we lived a good life and waited for the sport to catch up.
And then when you got back in, you got into the Elite XC.
Yep, got into Elite XC. And also, we started an organization called Strike Force, which is actually on NBC. I'm not supposed to say that, but I did.
Who's going to tell Frank not to?
That lawyer will show up any minute you watch. You know, and I was a free agent since 99, and I went around. I really, at that time, when I kind of stepped back, I realized what the sport was missing. They're missing, developing stars. They're missing good storylines in marketing, consistent storylines in marketing, mm-hmm. like they do for everything else in the world except for our sport.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of learned a lot about the sport, a lot about business. When I came back, I was ready to do, you know, really important things. And I helped co-promote events, launch events on pay-per-view, produce events, and somehow
and you
I got
feel
a job.
That the Elite XC is addressing all of those concerns that you had about what was wrong with the sport?
Well, they are because they did like I did. They sat back and waited. You know, they took care of their business instead of jumping into the sport and getting all crazy. They got their business in order. They got their companies in order. They got their acquisitions in order. You know, they've got a global reach that is bigger than UFC's.
Oh, is that
UFC
right?
Has no idea what Elite XC has been building over the past 2 years. Uh-huh. You know, we own a business in Korea. We own a business in Japan. We have an entire continent. An entire globe of MMA that nobody knows about yet because we haven't really packaged it for sale. But
it's coming.
When you go to Japan, how do they respond to American fighters?
Well, they love you. They love absolutely. You're like a superstar. I mean,
is that right?
Do they love you a long time?
They love you. They love you long time. They cook you noodle and then they sleep on the floor. If you ever get a chance, go to Japan.
Perfect moment, right
as
there.
A martial artist,
because they worship you over there.
Well, you know what? It's They have the utmost respect for athletes who go out and do, you know, hard stuff. They get it because, you know, they're small people and they're warriors in their heart, but they're not physical warriors. They're just, you know, they're workers and they're nice people.
Right.
But they're focused on surviving. They're focused on building their community, they're not focused on sports. When you come over as an athlete, they love you.
Has there ever been an exhibition, and forgive me if this is an ignorant or naive question, but has there ever been an MMA versus sumo exhibition?
Well, I mean, one could say that Taylor Tooley fought in UFC 2. Well, UFC 1, I'm sorry. He fought Gerard Godot, a Muay Thai kickboxer out of Holland, and Gerard kicked him in the face with a shin and knocked his front teeth out. And Gerard had two teeth embedded in his shin that we couldn't pull out, so he went back out 10 minutes later and fought in a second fight with Taylor Tooley's teeth embedded in his shin.
That's a tongue twister right there.
That's strong. That's a lot of teeth.
Wow. Now, where did at what point in the last, like, 15 years did it start getting more and more rules where they would can't gouge eyes, you can't do that stuff? Because in the 90s...
All the stuff you used to like to do, Frank.
My favorite stuff.
Kicking in the back of the head.
Someone said, hitting the back of the head earlier. I was like, are they calling me? Like, am I on?
That's
am I hitting someone in the head? You know, really, it was about 1998.
98.
You know, and I was the first UFC middleweight champion. So when they made weight classes, I was the guy.
In 97?
Kevin Jackson in 97.
Right.
That was kind of the whole, we better make this thing a sport movement.
It started in 97. And 98, we really got the unified rules together and, you know, kind of got the whole thing going. But it wasn't until about 2003 or 4 that we kind of, you know, Zuffa bought the UFC. They cleaned up the image. You know, they did some great marketing for it, and people, you
it
know.
Just became legal in California when? In 2003?
A couple years ago, yeah.
3 years ago, maybe?
Do you agree with the rules, the things you're not allowed to do anymore?
Yeah, you know, the rules are the game. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I wish there were no rules, because that's what a fight really, truly is. You know what I mean? I mean,
called a bum fight, Frank. That's a totally different thing.
Yeah, I mean, if a guy's, you know, on the ground on all fours in front of you, you can't kick him in the head. It's like, why can't you kick him in the head? Because in a fight, why would you be on the ground on all fours in front of somebody? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I like...
You know it's not a real fight, though. I mean, it's not a...
Well, it isn't. When you study the art of fighting, your goal is to get as close to the art, embrace the art. You know, there's a lot of restrictions to my art now. And, I, you know, I'm okay with it because it's the game.
And the other guy has to play by the same rules.
Yeah. I mean, it's a game. But, you know, I like the scary game, because that's what gets me going. You know, like, that guy's going to stomp my head. I better move my... That's what gets me going.
He's so nice. He does. Doesn't enough. He sitting here and yet... No.
No, he's
not really.
He's a warrior.
Yeah. I don't know.
How do you like doing the color commentary? How do you like that?
I think it's a joke. They're paying me to sit around and talk about fighting, because, I mean, that's all I do is sit around and talk about fighting. Yeah, yeah. You know, the on-camera stuff is stressful because everybody else is so stressed, but, you know, I really enjoy it, and... I know so much about it. It's almost ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's not a challenge, really.
Well, I mean, the challenge is removing myself, being a professional commentator, because I'm not. I mean, you know, I'm not.
Right. You want to kick people in the head when they're down.
Yeah. So you guys are on to me. So, I mean, it is a challenge for me. That's what I like about it. I really have to extend myself a little bit. You know, I know my skill set. It's not super. So it's a little bit of an extension. But, you know, talking about fighting is a joke.
Saturday night, 9 o'clock, CBS. In about 20 seconds, tell our listeners why this is the one they don't want to miss this weekend.
Well, it's real, true MMA. That's all you need to know.
What's the difference? Can you tell me the difference between the two?
You know, there's a lot of fluff. There's a lot of television fighters. There's a lot of reality stars. These guys are all real fighters. This is the real deal. That's what you need to know.
Saturday night, 9 o'clock on CBS. Frank Shamrock has been our guest. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Paul Jordan from Roland Heights just won tickets to one of the upcoming Jack Johnson concerts in Southern California. We are hooking you up all this week on K-Rock, not just during the Kevin and Bean Show, but round the clock with tickets to great summer shows, including Nine Inch Nails, which we'll have for you next hour, by the way. Also, Warped Tour, Radiohead, Rockin' Tours, Beck, Project Revolution, and more. Keep listening to K-Rock to win at 7:52. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday.
Oh, sure. You got lots of tickets. You got bunches of tickets. Do you have...
We do.
Do you have tickets to the special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers?
No.
Starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly?
We don't have those.
Not in particular.
No.
Shake and bake!
Shake and bake, she is.
Yes, Miss Cleo, shake and bake.
She loves John C. Reilly.
She's lost her mind.
Yeah. No. You think?
When we had Cleo as an intern, she was the sharpest one in the batch.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. By far. Sharpest knife in the drawer.
Right.
Then we hired her and started paying her, and now she is a functional retard.
Yeah.
I swear to you, she has just become the retarded policeman. It's like, what happened to you, the smart girl we thought we were hiring?
She was hiding
she
it.
She got silly, didn't she?
Pudding. That's what you said to me. It's not even an answer to that question. The other day, she gets a package from a publishing company and said, you've got a book from... Duble Day Publishing? I'm not effing you with you. Duble Day, she comes up with. I say, you've never heard of Double Day Books? Oh, yeah. Look at my boobs.
She never says that.
So it's just sad. Anyway, yes, John C. Reilly, Will Ferrell of Shake and Bake fame from Talladega Nights, cast again, this time as Step Brothers. In the hilarious new comedy that opens on Friday, we've got a special K-Rock screening Thursday night at the Arclight. If you'd like to go, here's a little trivia question for you. First person to answer it correctly at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get the pair of tickets to the special screening. Will Ferrell is a local boy, OC boy. Went to University High.
Correct!
Yes, he did. That is correct. Oh. Then, upon graduation, he attended USC.
Correct!
He's a lifelong, heartfelt Trojan. What was Will's major at USC? You might think it would be Comedy 101 or...
Yeah.
Hilarity.
I don't think they hilarity. Do they offer a degree in that?
But no, sir. He majored in something completely unexpected, so please come up with that answer. Be the first caller through at 1-800-520-1067, and you will get a pair of tickets to the special K-Rock screening.
It is 11 inches.
Is that right?
No, that's not the right answer.
I know. I feel you, Psycho Mike.
It's just a guess.
I'd like to walk out too, but I just don't have that option.
It just happened. I don't know what that means.
Bean doesn't feel like he needs a reason anymore to play his little sound bites on the island.
That was the guess.
He's able just
the answer
to
the question. Is it 11 inches?
Is the
that's the major?
Major
that he majored
he,
in. Is it 11 inches? Is the major that he?
I
took
would.
At USC.
I withdraw the caveat.
I wish I could withdraw it from my memory. Today's celebrity birthdays
already.
It's Monday. I've had an ass full of bean already. Huh. It's already.
Well, you're going to have to.
All right, I'll do a couple stories. How about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend?
Just plug your nose and plow through it.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
The Dark Knight, in its debut weekend, made $155.4 million.
That is unbelievable.
It is a record. You know, they keep telling you, you know, movies are dying because DVDs and blah, blah, blah. Just because people will still go to the theaters. Mm-hmm. For an event like this one.
Everything has to fall in line. It's got to be a good-looking movie, you know? You got to be interested.
That Christian Bale is good-looking, too, isn't he?
Oh, man.
And Maggie Gyllenhaal. She's a looker.
Yeah, not really.
Not according to Kevin.
Not really.
Yeah, but can't you see how they would love her because she's so great? Because she's, like, smart and dynamic, and she's a district attorney, and she's fighting the good fight, and she's, like, an amazing woman?
Yeah, I
can't you see why that may be why they love her? Does she have to look like Marissa Miller, too, in order for them to love her?
Kevin doesn't really have an amazing woman category. He just has,
no,
are
do.
You hot enough for me, bitch? That's all he's got.
Boobies!
Look.
Boobies!
My thing is, it's not that she's not attractive. It's that she's not attractive in that role where supposedly everyone in the city is falling in love with her.
But they're in love with her not because of her looks, Kevin. It's because who she is
but
really what the attraction is.
Can't she be decent looking as well?
I think she's more than decent looking.
I do too, by the way.
Those droopy eyes. She's droopy.
Kevin's got to rent himself some secretary and then come back to us.
Watch her crawling around with a mail in her mouth for a while. Then tell me, then tell me what you think of her.
A I mail or seen the that mail?
What's that?
Never mind.
The mail or a mail, she said.
Both, actually. Yeah. We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. Let's go to Kayleen in Irvine.
Oh, God.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Kayleen.
Kayleen. What was Will Ferrell's major at USC?
Sports information.
Sports information. What a lame-ass major that is, by the way, that you can actually go to school. Your parents can pay for you to go to school, and you study sports information. It's like reading the back of baseball cards or something.
That's
it?
The I'd like to party.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're program. Absolutely right. Hold on. We'll give you all the details, but you're going to the special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kayleen. Sports information.
Come on.
What do you do with that major when you graduate?
Saturday Night Live.
Write the media guides for... you know, major ball clubs?
I can't imagine, unless you're going into sports broadcasting. But then you probably wouldn't even need it.
Yeah. Mamma Mia was number 2 at the box office this weekend. Did pretty well, considering the competition. $27.6 million was good enough to make it number 2. Then Hancock, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Hellboy 2, WALL-E, Space Chimps, Wanted, Get Smart, and Kung Fu Panda rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Speaking of Kung Fu, pandas, chimps... and WALL-E.
Wow.
I have a story that ties them all together.
All right.
Disney has announced that they're building the world's biggest theme park following the Chinese Olympics near Shanghai.
Hey.
Although both Disney and the Chinese government have denied it, sources persist in claiming the theme park will be built and will be the first park to have a major contribution from Disney's animation wing, Pixar. In other words, there'll be a ton of Pixar characters like WALL-E walking around the park traditional Disney characters.
How widely known are those blockbuster American movies in China?
That's an excellent question, Bean. One, sadly, I don't have the answer for.
Bean asks questions that have no answer.
But I'm guessing they must have some following there, or else Disney probably would be reluctant to build a theme park there.
Sure.
Apparently, the Chinese government is going to spend upwards of $40 billion, that's billion with a B, on roads, sewer lines, water and electrical power lines to get Shanghai Disneyland ready to roll in the Far East. So, although they haven't officially come out to say it, the insiders are saying there's definitely a plan in the works to build Disney Shanghai.
I thought you said 40 billion.
B with a billion, $40 billion just to get the infrastructure ready to build the theme park.
Wow. I guess it's smart to go where the people are. I mean, there's a billion people in that country. Why not?
Along with WALL-E and other Pixar characters, they say all the Disney characters will be represented except for Pluto. He refuses to go to China for fear of being eaten.
Oh!
Because he's a dog, Mike. Pluto's a dog.
See?
See what happened there?
You don't get it.
You don't get it.
Nobody gets me, man. Lost. Lost on you people. Congratulations to Hayden Panettiere. She just bought herself a brand new house.
Yes.
Which is nice. You know, a 19-year-old girl maybe should leave the house where she lives with her parents, get herself a little bachelor pad, you know, maybe a studio in West Hollywood.
A little apartment or something.
She can get a little taste of freedom, being on her own for the first time.
Sure.
Maybe a two-bedroom, get a roommate.
Maybe, yeah. Share expenses, you know, make it. Oh, no. She bought a $4 million home in the Hollywood Hills at 19 years old.
Wow.
She's rocking the $4 million house.
See, now she could have played the DA and I would have bought it. What's wrong with that? She's smart.
19.
Yeah. I would have thought she was a hard-bitten DA.
She's smart.
In a crime-ridden city at 19.
Criminals are bad.
Oh, how dare you talk about her like that?
I dropped my pencil. Let me bend over and get it.
Come on,
guys,
Kevin.
Are bad.
Come on, Kevin.
She's not hot.
Look, that's she's his only.
She's a total package.
That's the
though.
Only criteria.
No, she's
that
not the total package.
That's the only reason someone can like another person.
Not at all. But is she playing the role where two guys, the two main characters in the movie, fall in love with her? Then she needs to be at least have some heat. Is that too much to expect?
So two men can only care about one girl when she's a 10.
No, but she's got to be at least a 6, doesn't she?
Isn't this supposed to be the more realistic comic book movie? Isn't this supposed to reflect real values as opposed to cardboard cutout comic book values? Isn't that the premise of the whole movie?
In real life, though, two guys are only going to fight over a hot chick. I mean, to be honest.
Thank you. In reality. Thank you.
Two guys are only going to fight over.
I think you're missing the whole point.
A cup and a...
Two guys and a cup and a girl.
I don't think Maggie Gyllenhaal has any trouble getting men, by the way.
Yeah. Am I the only one that does not find her attractive?
I mean,
Peter Sarsgaard obviously does, right? Mm. That's her boyfriend that she has a baby with.
Peter Sarsgaard. Mm. And also, Hayden has announced that this season of Heroes is going to be very interesting. A little teaser.
Okay.
In an interview, she says that, once again, this season, the characters will be flashing forward and back from the present and the future.
Okay.
Like they did that one episode last year. And so some of the heroes evolve into villains in the future. So they will be going back and forth between the storylines, so you get to see them in their heroic present and also in their cynical, villainous future as well. So could be some interesting storylines in this season of Heroes. Looking forward to it.
Sexier Latin heartthrob, me or Wilmer Valderrama? Be honest and objective.
I think you're both very sexy. So.
You got that right, sister.
Let's stop sending Mike out ever to ask questions of anyone.
A waste of an interview.
Well, they're all about him, aren't they?
I'd like to hear something. Hayden Panettiere might have something to say about something. Other than who's hot. The hotter Latin heartthrob.
Oh, dude, lame.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Robin Williams is 57 years old today. John Lovitz, formerly of Saturday Night Live and other things. Like Benchwarmers. Starting Benchwarmers. Remember that?
Sure.
Yeah. He's 51. Josh Hartnett is 30. And Damian Marley celebrates his 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This time tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, our friend Seth Green will be here. We always enjoy catching up with Seth, so that's tomorrow. Also, super hot former receptionist at K-Rock, Janelle, apparently the luckiest peeping Tom in the world, got an eyeful of that. There's a funny story about what happened next. That's all tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock.
We made the announcement earlier this morning that we have begun the K-Rock shop. You can go to krock.com and click on it, or you can just go krockshop.com, and there's all kinds of T-shirts and hats and new VIP limited edition super special blah 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 Kevin and Bean T-shirt that they have. It's the only shirt really that has been discounted on the site.
Is already, the Kevin, by the way, that kind of concerns me a little bit.
Everything else, $7,000. Our shirts, $9.99. It's BS, and I don't know why it's happening.
Why are they trying to move out the shirts so fast?
I don't know.
And Bean shirt. I mean, are they making way for Seacrest starting next Monday, or what's the deal here?
They came to us and they said, "Will you please make a special VIP shirt?" So we made one that we thought was funny, and then they said, "All right, let's put it on sale." We're like, well, wait a minute. Why? How come? So anyway, it's the only thing on sale.
The Rodney on the Rock t-shirt that we told you about last hour, by the way, already sold out. The things do move on this site. That's already gone. So hopefully we'll ship those out soon so Rodney will never see them and never know about them and never sue us for them.
Correct. All of the above. All right, let's talk about Dimitri, and let's talk about this message that we played last week. And let's talk about two girls who have spoken to or received messages from a guy like this.
We got fantastic response from this voicemail by Dimitri the Lover, as he calls himself. And by the way, he does have a website, and he does teach seminars to guys who want to be like him, because he can teach you the irresistible personality to get women. That's his deal, okay?
How to pick up women, yeah.
How to pick up women, right. And we do have a link to these voicemails. A lot of people, after we played them last week, emailed us and said, dude, where can I find those? I have to play those for my fill-in-the-blank. So you can go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean section. You'll find them linked there. But if you haven't heard this yet, the story is that a girl named Olga met this guy on the street, had a brief conversation, gave him her business card, and said, call me. Well, he did. And you'll see why in a moment. She didn't call him back.
Yeah, hi there, Olga. It's Dimitri. Sorry I had to leave such a rushed message with you when we met the other day. I just want to quickly give you your my phone number, and I had to get the heck out of the area.
By the way, is that a good sign when a guy says, I have to get the heck out of the area?
I think he's pursued by the police.
He's running by the police,
yes,
right?
Okay. Absolutely.
In any event, I figure I'd better leave you a more detailed message and explain why I approached you. I am single. I have no trouble meeting women. I mean, women approach me 6-7 times a day.
Yes.
Why does she need to have an explanation as to why he approached her?
I think she gets
that he's a guy and she's a girl and he likes her.
He's letting her know that she's super, super lucky to have caught his eye because he gets approached by women 6-7 times a day.
I see.
But I'm very particular about what I like. You're extremely elegant. I couldn't take my eyes off of you, and your friends were very jealous, even if they say they weren't.
Now, here's what I like. He doesn't know if the friends are going to say they weren't or not, but he's telling her that her friends were jealous that she's the one he paid attention to, because they all wanted him.
They were envious of the fact that I approached you, so I'm giving you an opportunity here.
Oh.
I don't know if you pick up the messages on the weekend, but I'm working on a movie script, so I'm pretty much around all weekend doing that. I left you my number, 416-918.
Blah, blah, blah.
This looks like a landline, and if it is, you may not get the message till Monday. But when you do, call me, and then we'll get together for coffee and chat and let the romance begin.
Yes, there's no option that the romance won't happen.
I would never want to hear, and we'll let the romance begin.
Under any circumstances, even at your wedding, you wouldn't want to hear that. Hey, Lisa, if you're Olga and this is the message on your machine, have you hit delete already, or are you listening in just fascination with a slack jaw?
No, I'm listening and I'm sending it to everyone I know.
Right. That's what I would think. So he goes on.
You look very taken aback by my approach, and I hope that isn't timidness. I hope it was just a little bit of shock at being approached so directly, because I don't really date timid women, because I'm a very direct, very passionate, very assertive man. And I want a woman who's very independent and strong. So anyway, we'll talk about that. But I just wanted to formally introduce myself. Now I have. I leave the ball in your court. You call me as soon as you have the courage to. Okay, Olga? Talk to you soon. Bye.
As soon as you have the courage to.
Call me as soon as you have the courage to. Now, Bean and I were mocking this guy, and Lisa,
rightly so.
And Lisa was looking at us like, these guys are out there everywhere.
That is true.
And
that
we're like,
really? I love that he says he wants a strong, independent woman and then lays out his plan as to how it has to go. He's so full of crap, by the way. Yeah, these guys are unbelievable. They are so full of wrongly placed confidence in themselves, and I guess it's because then when they don't get the response they want, they can turn it on the woman and say, well, she's got problems.
Oh, how
clearly
dare you suggest
it's not me,
that
because I am so amazing.
But we're gonna take some calls from ladies at 1-800-520-1067 with their stories of the Dimitris in your life. But let me ask you this, Lisa. There is something to be said for confidence. You do want a guy who is confident, but obviously he goes way past that.
Way past that.
So she doesn't call him back. What a surprise, Olga. And about 3 days later, he decides to lay down the law. And this phone call is the one that will really floor you.
Hi there, Olga. It's Dimitri calling again, the guy from the street. I left you a message several days ago. You said you were interested. Now, here's the way I work. I don't like leaving second messages, but I like you. You're a very elegant woman. You're very attractive. But, you know, I don't play that game. I know your friends tell you not to return calls. You're playing games like you see on stupid TV shows. So here's how it's going to work.
How does he know that she's playing games like stupid TV shows?
Here's what I love. His assumption that this entire time she's been talking to her friends. How should I handle this? What should I do? How should I play this so that he wants me? Really?
Instead of, I hope that douchebag doesn't call me again.
Yes, yeah. And delete and then move on.
So here's how it's going to work.
It is now 4:30 on Wednesday. Now, I'll assume that you've already left work, because, you know, some people leave early, and I'll grant you that. But if I do not receive a phone call back from you...
Okay, now...
Ultimatum, yes!
That sounds a little threatening already.
A lot
threatening. I'm going to assume that you have already gone home early. Otherwise, you would be taking my call.
Right.
He's getting mad now.
Mm-hmm.
By 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon...
It's 24 hours.
I'm no longer interested, and you can erase my number. I don't play games like that. I'm completely single.
How does he know it's a game and just she's not repulsed by him?
Because he's fabulous.
And
yeah,
single.
That doesn't cross his mind. In Dimitri's mind, any woman is, it's an opportunity for her to date him, remember?
I'm very intelligent. I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch.
Really?
I've only been single 4 months. I had a long-distance relationship. You know, it went a year. It's very tough to maintain it like that, and it didn't work out. There's nothing wrong with me. Matter of fact, I'm one of the few men in the city that has nothing wrong with him.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks for the update.
This is why I want to talk to our listeners about guys they've met that are God's gift to women. We might as well just call Jenny Catherwood, by the way, while we're at it. But I mean, guys like Dimitri, Lisa says there are guys out there like that who believe that they're perfect and you're so lucky to be with them. I want to hear about that.
Even people who think they're perfect wouldn't say it.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a special length of douchebaggery that does not exist in normal people.
So I'm giving you that 3 o'clock deadline.
Okay.
If I don't hear from you, you lose my number.
Oh.
I'm erasing yours right now, so you won't be hearing back from me. So that's it. 3 o'clock tomorrow, or you can just completely forget it.
Okay, now, so that's the ultimatum.
Yes.
And now
he's got to be done, right?
Nope. Now he's going to continue talking, and he's going to talk about the possible reasons why she would not call him back.
Now, I understand if you've got other issues, like maybe you're not playing games. Maybe you've had, I don't know, maybe you were abused in childhood. Maybe
what?
Your mother has cancer. You're going to chemo.
Those are the only ways he can see her not calling him back.
What about that you're a dick? What about that? Isn't that more likely than you were molested as a kid?
He's now going to tell her what's wrong with her mentally for not calling him back. It's got to be one of those things.
Maybe you're just a person who's extremely frightened or has an anxiety disorder. Maybe you're on some medication for that. I don't know. There could be another issue.
Now, at that point, doesn't he realize that he's starting to come across really negatively and maybe he needs to make the save? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right.
Maybe I do sound like a dick because I'm telling her that she's got mental problems.
He's also leaving a 5-minute message, which nobody ever wants
ever.
To hear.
Yeah.
Ever.
I delete messages after about 20 seconds, regardless of how long you're going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way it goes. But he keeps going.
That I'm not aware of. But nobody says, call me, hands a person a business card, and then doesn't return calls. It's extremely passive aggressive. You should actually look that up, passive aggressive personality disorder.
Oh, you should look that up.
It never for once occurs to him that now that she's actually heard him,
right.
She doesn't want to talk to him.
If he's real, she handed him a business card to get away. He called and left that first message, and she said, no way, because
yeah.
He's
right.
A dick.
Right.
And you let me know if you've got issues, psychological issues, if you're on any sort of medication for anxiety or depression, I'm not interested.
If you're taking any medicine for anything, I'm out.
He's got a pretty long list of things that eliminate her from contention, considering they haven't even gone out yet.
Okay. But if you're psychologically normal and you haven't called me because there's been some horrible thing that's happened in your life which prevented you, that's fine. But otherwise, don't call me. Okay? Bye.
And if he is the perfect guy he claimed to be in Message One, the guy who has nothing wrong with him, how does he have this kind of time to leave this kind of message? Shouldn't he have something else to do?
Shouldn't women be hitting on him 6-7 times a day?
Yeah.
All right. We have some people on hold. 1-800-520-1067. Guys come across like this. Really exist? Because to me, it sounds like it's got to be
a joke,
right? Or a setup for a TV character, internet, one of those pranks. It's got to be something that's not true.
But no.
There can't be guys like this. But
apparently,
yes,
there are.
Yes.
And our listeners have unfortunately run into them. And we'll.
I mean, women approach me 6-7 times a day.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Dimitri.
Sure. Dimitri the Lover is his name. We've got the audio for those fantastic voicemail messages that he left for a woman he met on the street at krock.com. You can go to the Kevin and Bean section and hear those. And before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, Lisa, what are the emailers saying?
This is from Jamie in Redondo, and she said she was really laughing when she heard the clip because it sounded like this guy that she was set up with on a blind date.
Oh, what a nightmare.
So she canceled on the day of the date, and she said the smooth talker turned into a mean version of Dimitri.
Oh, no.
It started out nice, but by the end of his 5 minutes, around, he was going to the restaurant that I worked at with his friends and get me fired.
Oh, no.
It went on and on, and he informed her that women were only good for sex, and that's why men keep them around. And
wow.
She said, let's just say he is not allowed in the restaurant where I work.
Well, that certainly makes her think she made the wrong decision.
yeah
no
right.
Kidding. It's like the guys who get fired from their job because they're violent, and then to prove that the boss is wrong, they come back and shoot the place up.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. All right, let's talk to Heather in Lake Forest. She's on line 2 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Heather, sounds like you've had your own Dimitri in your life.
Yes, I have. Hello.
Hi.
It actually was my boyfriend at the time, mm-hmm. and I repeatedly actually had tried to break up with him, and I'm too nice, so anyways.
What do you mean tried to break up with him?
Exactly. The next day or the day after, he would continue to call, and he would start making ultimatums, like, similar to what Dimitri did. Like, if you don't call me by this time, it's over.
Okay, but
and I would
wait a minute.
There with my friend saying, I hope to God it is, because I have, like, called it off, and this would just be my way of being like, I wish that he would just leave it at that, but he never did. He would call, or he'd come over.
So he would say, I know you said you wanted to break up, but I'm serious. If you don't call me by 6 tonight, it is over.
That's hilarious.
It's over. That's it.
What the hell?
And then he'd call, or he'd say he wasn't going to call, and then, like, the next day or the day after, he'd call again and be like, that was the last time, but now I'm going to delete your number.
I love it.
I'm
That's
like,
the
wait.
Best.
I'm not kidding.
A couple times I was actually excited about it. Like, oh, thank God. This is going to be easy.
Yeah, you believe
right,
him?
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
Wow. Look, if so you're going to insist on firing me, then I quit.
Right. Your theory
my
is what?
My theory on these guys is that they're not actually super confident. They're actually super inconfident. And, like, some guys get hurt by rejection. These guys just get angry.
Yeah,
that
could
be. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try Nia in Los Angeles on line 5. Hi, Nia. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Actually, I had a similar story, but it was with a friend, actually, who's in the entertainment and media
mm-hmm.
business.
Yes.
And he's married, and he wanted me to be his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And when I laid down the law that, no, it's either you and I only or nothing, he, like, totally switched up. He became very, how would you say, emotionally abusive?
Oh, no.
How dare I reject him and, you know.
And he's a catch.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, right? And he called me names, and he goes, well, and in his mind, I was still his girl for some reason.
It takes a lot of balls if you're a married guy to be berating your potential new girlfriend.
No kidding. Where did they get off?
So eventually I just, stopped answering his calls, and he continued to text message me. And, like, what are you doing? Are you busy? Why aren't you answering my calls?
Why does it seem like if you say I'm not interested anymore, those words just don't get heard?
I don't know. I think it's because they are in this zone where they think it's their right to get whatever they want, and
if you
tell them otherwise, it's like, how dare you?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Thank you for the call, Nia. We appreciate it. Let's squeeze in one more. Shonda is in Rancho Cucamonga on line 6. Hi, Shonda. Thanks for holding on. What happened to you?
Hi. I was babysitting for a lady, mm-hmm. and her husband told me that I should have his child.
What?
The
husband of the kid that you were babysitting?
Uh-huh.
No, the husband of the mom of the kid that she was babysitting.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm asking if it was his kid, too.
Yeah. It was his child.
It was his child.
And he told me that, you know, he wanted to have another child, and his wife didn't want more, so he wanted me to birth his child.
Okay.
That is quite an opportunity.
That's a little bit awkward, but then when you said no, did he go Dimitri on you?
Yeah. Yeah, he said he was going to, you know, make it to where I couldn't watch his child anymore. He was going to tell his wife that I was pursuing him, and, you know, she was a really jealous person.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was quite scary.
It's just mental.
I'm just curious what Dr. Drew thinks of these people.
That's a great question.
ask him.
I'm going to guess touched. That's his answer for pretty much everything.
Right. Inappropriately as a child.
These men are everywhere.
That's scary.
Yeah. And I have a 17-year-old daughter now, and I tell her don't believe anything they say.
Yeah.
That's always good advice about men.
Yeah. Especially 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
All right, Shonda, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
But I don't know how many of you saw Batman. $155 million seems like a lot for a three-day weekend.
Yeah.
And we have the Cape Crusader on the line.
Oh, really?
Good morning, Batman.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm very well.
Hell of a weekend.
Actually, the final total just came in for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
$158 million.
Wow.
My God.
Wow, you must be very proud.
I am very proud that my fight for justice is being represented by the fair people of the United States of America.
Right, they're very interested in the story.
Yes, they are. Truth, justice, and protecting the innocent against evil.
So, Batman, you're out there fighting crime, and they're filming it and making it a movie at the same time?
Sure.
I was trying to figure out how that works.
How do you keep your voice like that? That seems like it would be very destructive.
This is my voice. I don't keep my voice like this. This is how Batman talks.
But Bruce Wayne talks differently, though, right?
Bruce, nice. Thanks. Bruce Wayne, what? Thanks a lot.
What?
Secret identity. It's called secret. Secret identity.
Everybody knows. I thought.
No, appreciate it. Well, great.
I think that's one of those
keys to Wayne Manor. What you come
I think that's
put
one of those.
Up on the back computer. Everybody stop by. Great. Thanks.
I think that's one of those things that everybody pretty much knows.
Oh, well, they do now. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Batman.
Great.
It was a secret till just this minute?
Yeah. Oh. Secret identity. It's called a secret.
So sorry.
Nobody's supposed to know.
I apologize.
And Alfred. That's it.
Okay.
You guys knew. Wow. Now everybody knows.
That was a mistake. That was quite a boo-boo.
No, it's great. Okay. No. Hey, and Joker, Two-Face, you know where to find me now. Just come to Wayne Manor. Kill me.
Yeah.
That'll be great. No problem.
Well, I don't want that to happen.
Woman, come by, knock me off. That's great.
I don't know if you saw if you watched the movie Batman, but Two-Face is not going to be coming for you. I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but
oh no, what could you give away?
I'm just saying.
You two are horrible.
I'm just saying.
On every level.
I'm just saying.
You suck.
I'm just saying he's probably not going to come for you. Is all I'm saying.
Did you do this when you called Spider-Man to ruin his life too? Hey, Peter Parker, what's up? Good to see you.
No, we
How's
didn't.
Your ugly girlfriend?
How is your ugly girlfriend?
Hey, Batman, speaking of your ugly girlfriend, Kevin doesn't appreciate your girlfriend, Rachel, who the rest of us think is very attractive. What's his problem?
Rachel Dawes is one of the most courageous, most
yes.
powerful women in Gotham City.
I can see that.
And she is deserving of all of our love and attention.
I think so, too.
Not so hot, though, really.
All things being equal.
But not hot.
I'd still rather be banging Kim Bates here.
That's what I'm
saying. Oh, no.
Yeah, she know, that was a piece of ass.
That's what he's saying.
Brains can only get you so far in bed, you know what I'm saying?
See, that's what I'm saying. So, Batman, you're on my league.
You
know, on my page.
You drop the utility belt. You really want it. You want a nice piece of ass, you know what I'm saying? You take off the cape and cowl.
You are nothing like I
when
thought you were.
When you slip into the Batcave.
That
you
euphemism?
Want,
is that
you
what you call it?
You turbines to thrust, you know what I'm saying?
I think I do.
Sorry.
You all right?
The throat's killing me with this freaking voice.
One hundred 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Song's not over. I guess it is now.
Yeah, it is.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. John Henson joins us after the news at 9. For those of you who complain that you've never seen John and Ralph at the same place at the same time, today's the day. It's going to happen.
Dude doesn't even look that much like me.
Well, you do look sort of alike.
A little bit.
I know.
I can
John,
see the resemblance.
I've known him for a little while now. I looked in there. I said, that dude doesn't look like me.
We didn't know how to tell you, Ralph.
And he said, you don't look like me. I said, you don't look like me. We don't look like each other.
Well, he looks a little better. But
He looks like a younger, handsomer version. I mean, if you were going to force me to say it, but
no wonder Batman hates you too.
Oh, you love us and you know it. Time for the showbiz.
Speaking of Batman, the Dark Knight final tally just came in. We had been reporting all morning that the movie had made over $155 million, and I'd like to apologize for spreading that rumor, and I stand corrected. No movie could make $155 million. That's madness. Absurd, right? We should have known it was crazy when we said it.
Right.
No, the actual number is $158.3 million this week.
Wow.
Now, when you consider that Spider-Man 3 made $151.1 million in its opening weekend in May of 2007, that's a drubbing. That's a crushing right there.
Yeah.
Kicked its ass.
As well as Batman performed, Ralph, can you imagine if they'd taken our advice and given the role to Adam West the way they should have? Imagine the box office it would have made if the real Batman had been in it.
I think it would have made $750 million. That's my that's my guess.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's just a rough speculation. Mm. It's so awesome.
I think Christian Bale is a pretty good Batman.
Yeah, hack. I can hear me saying it.
I don't want you people to imitate me. That's what we could have heard.
That's the movie I want to go see.
Awesome. Dealing with the other Joker. You're mad. Harvey, we need you to be a shining example in Gotham City. That would have been awesome. I have to go back and reshoot some scenes.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the rest of the top 10 at the box office, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. Mamma Mia was number two at the box office with $27.6 million. Then Hancock, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Hellboy 2, Wall-E, Space Chimps, Wanted, Get Smart, and Kung Fu Panda. Half these movies sound made up.
They do, yeah.
Space Chimps.
Yeah.
Journey to the Center of the Earth. World's gone crazy. Did you guys hear what happened? Oh, before I get to that.
That's a pretty generic question.
I'm going to go with yes.
Well, did you guys see that thing?
How about it?
That's my story.
That's a hell of a
before
story.
I get to that story, I want to give away my final pairs of tickets to the special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers. We've got a Thursday night screening at the Arclight of the hilarious film Step Brothers starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Looks like it's going to be terrific. I can't wait to see it. I'll be there the 24th. At the Arclight. You get to see it before anyone else does. I've got two pairs of tickets to give away here.
All right.
And I'm going to give them away to the first two people who have the correct answer to the following trivia question. NASCAR officials originally objected to the title of Talladega Nights for the film that Will and John starred in previous to this. They didn't want to give them the permission to use Talladega Nights.
Right.
So call in now, 1-800-520-1067, and give me one of the two other titles that were considered for the film before NASCAR finally caved and said, okay, you can call it Talladega Nights.
Cucamonga Heat.
There, yes. Cucamonga Hot Rod. There were two different titles that they were going to use, but they ended up going back to Talladega Nights.
So, that's a tough one. You got to be a real Will Ferrell fan to know that one.
That's what I figured. I got two pairs here, so I figured I'd make it a little tough. 1-800-520-1067. Call in now. Did you hear what happened?
Yeah. No, we didn't.
Maybe. I don't know.
A Philadelphia appeals court today threw out the indecency fine levied on CBS after the Janet Jackson nipple slippage.
Yay! Finally.
Only 4 years took them to reverse that call.
Wow.
But they realized it was bogus. Did you see what their
reason was, Ralph?
Well, they've got a couple good ones. First of all, the judge said that they consider Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake independent contractors and not CBS employees.
Right.
So that CBS could not be held accountable for their actions. They also said, and this is more important, I think, that the although the network received more than 500,000 complaints, 542,000 complaints, it was an unprecedented number, the FCC admitted, but they also said that the 85% of those complaints came from form letters generated by one single interest group.
Yes, but that's always been the case.
It's always been the case, but they finally took it into consideration this time around.
And said there was no way to determine how many actual individual complaints
there were. Thank God they are coming to their senses on that one.
The record is unclear on the actual number of complaints received from unorganized individual viewers, the ruling said. So the FCC cannot impose liability on CBS.
I'm happy to hear that.
So finally, they considered the fact that some goobers just
cranking out letters and having different people sign them and send them in. So maybe the tide is turning. I doubt it, but there's a little glimmer of hope at the end there.
We have a winner with your answer, Rob?
No, we don't.
We do.
I doubt it.
I'd like for them to put either of them on hold, and then I can go to them.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see if they know what they're talking about.
There we go.
Because this
right.
is a tough question.
Let's go to Craig in Los Angeles. Hi, Craig.
Hello.
Craig, give me one of the other two titles considered when NASCAR wouldn't let them use Talladega Nights originally.
High, Wide, and Handsome.
High, Wide, and Handsome. Yeah.
That's one of them.
That's such a funny title. Congratulations.
Do you know the other one, Craig?
Loud and Proud.
The other one, too.
Okay. All right.
Should have been Shake and Bake, but Loud and Proud,
sure.
High, Wide, and Handsome.
I hope they save High, Wide, and Handsome and use it for a future Will Ferrell movie, though, because that's too good to waste.
That is pretty good.
That's going to be the new film starring John Henson and myself.
Oh.
High, Wide, and Handsome.
Craig in L.A. and David in Inglewood both got those.
Good for them. I'll see you Thursday night at the screening. We'll give you all the details. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Robin Williams is 57 years old today.
He's a fag.
What is wrong with you?
You know, it's funny, John and I were talking, last time he was in, we were saying that it used to be that everywhere I went, people say, dude, are you the host of Talk Soup?
Right.
And I go, no, that's John Henson's very funny guy. And I complained to John about that when he came in. He said, yeah, well, now I'm getting, oh, I love John Joe Schmo. So I guess it all evened out in the long run.
Excellent. Yeah.
John Lovitz is 51 years old today. Josh Hartnett is 30 years old. And reggae singer Damian Marley. Of the legendary pot-smoking Marleys, he is 30 years old today. How do you celebrate your birthday when you're Damian
question.
Marley? How baked do you have to get to say, okay, this is a special occasion. This is unlike every other day.
It's a good question.
I'd like to try it sometime.
As would I.
Let's do the show stoned someday, Kevin.
Okay.
You may. Let's just get baked.
That'll be
and
different.
See how the show sounds if we're just higher than a kite.
But it's only weed.
Don't I have enough problems, like, remembering names and stuff?
Or would you come full circle and become, like, Stephen
question.
Hawking and just start rattling
sharpest
off
guy ever?
Theoretical physics? Would that happen?
I'm sure it would.
Can Lisa join you?
No, because she'll just burst into tears, crawl into fetal position, and choke on her own vomit.
Guys! I think I'm dying!
I need some help!
Worst stoner ever.
I'm not allowed to do anything ever again. Any kind of substance. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Cans, everybody. Cans. Come on. We got a show to do. Oh, sorry. Kevin and Bean Show, 12 after 9. Hey, John Henson.
Hey there.
How's it going?
What's up, John? How you been?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking.
It's been a while since we had seen what John was up to. I know you do the occasional sitcom appearances, but in terms of hosting your own show, when Wipeout came up, we were like, hey, that's our pal John. He's back on the TV.
That's right. As John Anderson likes to say, back in the magic talking box.
Now, you and John Anderson are the hosts of this game show. How did you get hooked up with this? How did it all come down?
You know what? It all happened really fast. In April, I was getting ready to go on a trip, vacation to Europe that I'd been planning for a while, and the day before I was leaving, I got a call to go on this audition, and I remember going on the audition and you're panicking to get ready to leave the country the next day, but I remember thinking, well, I put some good wood on the ball right there.
You felt
in
good
that
about
audition. Yeah, I just making connection, just driving the ball, and I went on the vacation. In the back of my head, I thought, God, I hope they're not going to call me and have me come home and test. Like, that would be the worst thing, is I blow off my European vacation and then come home and not get the show.
Then you'll test and then they'll say
right.
No.
Right.
Right,
so,
exactly.
But I made it through my trip, came home, and found out I had a job. And, I've learned something. When you go to Europe and you're unemployed, it's really comforting to come home to a network show.
I'm sure.
If you can arrange
it
that way, that's the way I would do it.
I don't know how many people can arrange it that way, but...
Nor would I ever expect myself to be capable of it again, but it certainly softened the blow of what am I going to do on the first when my credit card bill comes in.
Sure.
So, John, you're a working actor, basically, is what you are, and like so many in your profession, you kind of live, for the next job, right? If you're not working, you're not getting paid for a certain amount of time.
You know, I've been fortunate enough to continue. I've had very little downtime, although it hasn't always been you know, this is the first show that I've ever done that's just enormous. You know, Talk Soup, I think, was one of those kind of viral shows where it aired so much that people got a lot of viewership of it. But I'd been on TV Guide for 3 years, and I had trouble convincing people that that was actually a channel. I not only were we not getting a lot of viewers, people would go, "Isn't that a magazine? How can you have a television show in a magazine?" But I was fortunate enough to keep working, and I've been trying to, you know, my hand at a bunch of different things. I've had the opportunity to, you know, to write and produce and do a bunch of cool stuff, but this was a wonderful surprise and really just fell right into my lap.
Now, how many have aired? How many episodes have there been on? Two or three?
I think last week was the fourth.
Four, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Are you getting you already filmed it, or are you getting contestants that have seen and kind of planned?
No, that's the interesting thing. I think they shot out all the contestants, so I don't think anybody had the benefit of seeing the show then running the course.
Because it's a huge obstacle course, for those of you that haven't seen it yet, and people just wipe the F out.
I mean, hilarious.
Hence the name of the show.
If you're the kind of person like I am that just loves to watch people fall,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that's my sense of humor. Guy runs into the back of a bus, I'm going to laugh.
Yeah.
This obstacle course is made for that, and people that are showing up like that, I don't know, even like American Idol, where they are not able to sing at all.
Right.
You got fat people showing up.
But that's what I love about this.
You got that hot chick that went inch by inch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I want to hear about that. Wait a minute.
That's not what I meant.
Wait a minute. How else do you go?
Yard by yard. This is a show for the everyman. These are not highly tuned athletes.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Most of them are not athletes. And then they go across a wall of punching or whatever it's called. What's the name of that?
The sucker punch wall?
Sucker punch wall, where there's gloved hands coming out and punching at
boxing
their face
gloves.
Level, chest level,
yeah,
groin level, leg level.
Piston-driven, and it's at random intervals, so you can't even look for a pattern and time
right.
it. You
Some
know?
Of that it, stuff it, you watch, it wouldn't matter if you were an athlete.
I don't think anyone's...
That's true.
I haven't seen them all, but I don't think anyone's made it across that wall, have they?
I don't want to spoil anything. I'll just say you got to tune in and see.
There, okay.
Sometimes the most unlikely person will succeed at a challenge. The big balls, for instance, which, let's be honest... have walked away with a show.
Yeah, that's the people who they slip on those and they hit their head or whatever and bounce backwards into the water.
Around. Yeah.
It really is, but that is the best thing. You're right. That's the thing.
But the sign off for the show that I get to say every week is, for Jill Wagner, this is John Henson saying good night and big balls.
That's true.
and that's how prominent they are. But these are a very unforgiving obstacle. They're like, it's about a 15-foot-high kickball, essentially, and there's four of them, and you have to run across them. But
the reason that I asked about people seeing the show and then showing up is it doesn't seem like any of them do anything different with that. And now I understand why.
Well, yeah.
Because they haven't seen it.
Yeah, right. You'd think they would either slow down or realize that it's slippery because there's already mud on it or something and have a better plan. But if no one's seen it yet, they all do the same thing, which is just face first.
And we had this, I don't know if you happen to see it, there was a little girl from Alaska named Ariel Tweedo who made it across. She was the first contestant to ever make it across the big balls. Yes.
John, John Henson is in the studio at K-Rock this morning. We're talking about Wipeout, the smash hit on ABC Tuesday nights at 8. Does somebody always win $50,000 every week, or
every
are the obstacles so tough that you're just not giving any money away?
Wouldn't that be horrible?
That would be great if they did all that.
No winners again today.
No, they only have to beat the contestants that night.
Yeah,
right?
It's all self-contained. Each week, 24 people start, and we put them through a qualifier that weeds out about half the field, and then a couple of more obstacles. It slowly wheedles them down to about four people that compete in the final challenge called the Wipeout Zone, and the winner of the Wipeout Zone is guaranteed to walk away with $50,000 a week. So, in that sense, it's pretty cool.
And if they fall, you know, in the water or whatever, they can get back up and keep going. And you can win with a time of 20 minutes as long as the other three people are longer.
I mean, sometimes you'll see a time that you just think, well, that's never going to stand. But people get tired. There's a lot of swimming and a lot of
spinning people around to get them, you know, completely dizzy.
Did you see the guy vomit on the spinner?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
That was not wonderful.
That was wonderful.
Well, it was wonderful. It was
As you're talking about the guy vomiting on the spinner, I'd like to point out the show is very nearly the number one show in America, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
very nearly.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, growing up.
You, John, as the host, as one of the hosts, had to be shocked to see that first week ratings come back and how big it was.
I got to be honest with you. I knew because of the promotional campaign, we enjoyed a wonderful promotional campaign from ABC. You just couldn't watch TV for a while without seeing a very long promo. And especially during the NBA finals and stuff. And so we had a great lead, and I knew we would do a good number, but no one anticipated a number like this.
Do you think it's because of Joe Wagner?
I do. Yeah. In fact, John Anderson and I argue for as little screen time as possible.
She's the other host, Bean. They'll toss it out to her. She'll be out on the course, and she'll be interviewing people. Mm-hmm. And
Yeah, she's a talented young woman.
Yeah, that's what
they're,
I mean. Talented.
Yeah, they're smart to keep her away from you, Mr. Henson. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
All right. We have to take a quick break. John Henson is here. The show, again, is called Wipeout. It airs Tuesday nights at 8 on Channel 7. We'll talk more with John when we return on the World Famous K-Rock. Our friend John Henson is in the studio right now. His smash hit ABC show is called Wipeout. It airs again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Hey, what happens when the summer ends and they want to bring back all their bad shows that aren't fun? Does Wipeout go away, John, or what happens?
You know, I think we're probably going to try to keep this a summer show as opposed to milking it too much.
Does seem summer-ish.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great, fun show, and indications are that we'll come back, but I don't think anybody's decided when or for how many episodes. It would be wonderful to just keep this show as a strong summer hit, and maybe next summer we'll be as fortunate as we have.
Just
been
make sure that they don't start adding athletes. Because
I
don't want to see athletes. I want to see fat. I want to see old.
Right.
I want to see kids.
Infirm.
Yes. Infirm.
Yeah, right.
I want to see them wiping out because it's so much more fun that way.
I want to see a Darwinian flow chart every day. I want some people at different stages of evolution.
You spin them around enough, and you get people throwing up, and it's good times.
Do you know that they actually, this is what I love about the producers of the show, we have something called the spinner, and the second week somebody threw up on it and threw up in a girl's face. And so the next week they liked it, so they liked that video so much that the next week they served a giant Mexican lunch right before that, so that everybody's eating burritos
and they're probably nervous or whatever.
Exactly, with guacamole and sour cream, and then they put them on something that spins around like a carousel from hell.
Here's what's funny with the carousel of hell, by the way, is that they spin them around so that they're dizzy, and then they have to go on the course, and if they fall off, they have to go back to the spinner and start and get spun again.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
Some people,
right,
two,
then.
Three, four times some of these people.
You're talking about literally 6 minutes in some cases of just unadulterated centrifugal force. And, it's the equivalent of like a 15-year NFL career as a wide receiver.
Now, John, you are eligible for the Edward R. Murrow Award, though, right? I mean, you could win that for this show.
Oh, without question.
Especially with the spinner and the Mexican food.
I don't want to say favorite because it just sounds weird coming out of my mouth, but that's what people are telling me.
People are saying. Now, here's what's great when John visits us is he realizes, oh my God, I got up early this morning and I'm on freaking Kevin and Bean again. I mean, he starts evaluating his career and it doesn't compare favorably to where he hoped to be. John made a reference a moment ago, right as the song was ending, to a previous appearance on the Kevin and Bean show that I've completely forgotten about. You have to refresh my memory about the time you sold yourself on our show.
This would have been for a pilot that I did back in 2001. I remember this was when celebrities had just started selling themselves to parties, as celebrity guests.
Oh, yeah.
And NSYNC had done a bat mitzvah for $1 million.
That's unbelievable.
It just galled me so much. and I had this idea that although I admittedly do not have the drawing power of an NSYNC, I am priced to move at $49.95. So I came in here, I called you guys, and at the time, you were so good to me, I didn't even... it wasn't an airing show. It was just a pilot. But I said, I got this thing.
I don't remember you going on the air with us and doing that. But I remember the conversation behind the scenes was like, it's not a show that's on? No, it isn't. It's just a...
Yeah.
And we said yes.
And we said thumbs up.
And I'm on the other end of the phone going, let me finish. Hear me out. So we took calls, and I auctioned myself off to a bunch of parties at $49.95. I went to a three-year-old's birthday party, a bachelorette party.
Good times.
And I went to like a punk rock party with a bunch of dudes with mohawks and nose rings and tattoos on their
neck.
And
what did you do at these parties?
I showed up with a camera crew and filmed the entire party. and my celebrity interaction. I remember, like, for instance, at the 3-year-old's birthday party, I show up and we're opening presents. He's sitting on his mother's lap. He opens my presents and it's a can of Barbasol and a Gillette Mach 3.
and he found that extremely funny?
And then, of course, we went up and shaved the kid. We taped up the razor, of course, so that we couldn't hurt him. But then, you know, immediately in our bit that we put together, it's like you cut to him and he's got, like, this diptych pencil. He's got little, pieces of tissue, bloody tissue all over his face. And I'm going, what did I say? Always go with the grain. Always go with the grain. That kind of thing.
And what happened to that?
Did it ever get made?
You know what? It ended up becoming an incarnation of that became my show on Spike TV, which I think I might have been in here to promote as well. I had a show very briefly there called the John Henson Project. Yeah. I have had this is the mark of how long I've been knocking around in this business. I have mugs and glasses from failed shows. I have, like, swag from failed shows at my house. Uh-huh. The John Henson Show.
Yes.
The television show with John Henson.
Right.
Water cooler with John Henson and the John Henson Project.
Wow.
Not to mention Talk Soup for a while, which was a successful show.
Because my name wasn't in the title.
Exactly. I was just thinking what the weak link is.
Yeah, that's the kiss
and
of death.
Wipeout.
Turns out Wipeout doesn't have your name in it either.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I think we've learned a little something about how you being an egomaniac is holding your career back.
That's
what we've learned here.
But now I've lost top billing to the big balls. I've been humbled now.
The big balls do require the attention that they're getting.
But the show is on for how many more times then, the rest of the summer? What do you got, like four or five more? Or what?
I think we got there's going to be seven more with some clip show specials. And we got a clip show special that we're putting together that I'm really excited about, sort of our version of the Academy Awards.
Fattest contestant.
Some Lifetime Achievement Awards will be handed out.
Most falls into the water, that kind of stuff.
And that we're looking forward to. I think we might even shoot it at Disney. I'm not sure. We're not sure if we're going to be able to, but we're trying to shoot it at Disney World.
Shoot what at Disney World?
The one of the clip show specials, the Academy Award style thing. A lot of fun stuff in the works. We got like another, I think, 6 or 7 weeks to go.
Okay. Right. Well, check it out. Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock on ABC Channel 7. The show is called Wipeout. It is a smash hit. And listen, people are vomiting Mexican food. You can't get any better television than that.
15 million people and one vomitous man can't be wrong.
Exactly. Check it out tomorrow night. John Henson, thanks for joining us on K-Rock today, man. We enjoy.
Is it over now? Or do I wait?
Shh.
A little?
Shh. Okay, now.
Because that song kind of doesn't
end. Ow!
Okay.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. As always, that's the toll-free number here to get to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. And every day at this time, you call us. We give you a prize. A great one today. Robot Chicken Star Wars on DVD. It goes on sale everywhere tomorrow. Our friend Seth Green, the genius behind Robot Chicken, will join us in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. You win his DVD right now.
Let's start with Steven in Santa Monica. Good morning, Steven.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Steven?
You saw Batman over the weekend?
Oh, my gosh. It was the best movie I've ever seen. And it was me and four of my friends went to the – we wanted to go see it in IMAX, so we went to the Cinema Deluxe, the Bridge in L.A.
Right.
They've been sold out for weeks and weeks, and this guy was scalping tickets.
He was scalping tickets for Batman the movie.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, shady, shady. And we ended up paying $125 each for them.
$125.
When you could wait a day and see it?
Nope, couldn't do it.
$125.
Why didn't I think of that?
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was best in IMAX. Like, I can't like an IMAX experience. It's the best. But any other movie, whatever.
So you're saying that it was worth the $125 that you spent to watch it?
Well worth the $125.
That's just a lie.
Yeah, that's
crazy. Steven, you could have saved $100 a ticket by going today and seen it in IMAX.
Had to see it Friday.
Why?
Opening weekend. I mean, it had to be.
I know what Friday was, but why did you have to see it that day?
Most of us would say, I don't know, $125 seems a little steep. I'll wait.
Well, my brother, he paid $75 to go see it in a normal movie theater, which was stupid.
Yeah, that was stupid.
That's insane.
It sounds like you all come from the same stock.
You guys would like to talk to some people someday about why they must go see a movie the minute it comes out. Why do they have to go Thursday at midnight versus waiting for Sunday at noon?
They're probably just the people that are the most excited, look forward to it for so long.
You can't look forward to another day? You waited 3 years or whatever it was?
I don't know. I'm thinking not. Let's go to Mike in Van Nuys. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, what it do, white devils?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I have to agree with Kevin, even though I never agree with him. But yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal, she was a droopy looking girl.
That's what I'm saying. Can't she be hot? I mean, really?
But her role is not that of sex bomb in the film, really. She's supposed to be a district attorney, a crusading lawyer in a government job, you know? It's not like she's playing a model or an actress.
Mike, how did you describe her a second ago?
If you've ever played with Mr. Potato Head and you put his eyes on upside down.
That's what she looks like.
But listen, again, Mike, she's not playing the role of a supermodel.
She's playing the role of a district attorney.
Right. Have you ever seen a district attorney?
Who Batman.
How many 10 district attorneys do you know?
Who Batman and the district attorney Two-Face. Fall in love with.
Right.
Both of them fall in
but
love with
But for who
her.
She is. They don't have her poster up in their rooms and say, wow, I can't wait to bang her.
It can't be both. I don't understand why.
It's hard for Kevin to put this in perspective because his attorney is Giselle Bundchen.
That's true. Yeah, she does handle all his legal actions.
Mike's with me, though. Mike says she's got to go.
Yeah, take Katie Holmes any day.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't buy her as a district
attorney.
Katie
Holmes was weak in the first one. Yeah. She was flimsy.
I think the point we were making earlier, and I think I agree with Ralph on this wholeheartedly, is that she's not playing a sex bomb. She's playing a total package, a smart person who's got a lot going on. In addition to being attractive, she also has a fantastic personality, and she's real smart and fun to be with.
All of that is true, except for the attractive part.
Well, you can't say she's ugly. I mean, she's hard. I mean, you have to at least give her attractive, even if you're not going to give her. She's a model. You have to at least
admit
she's attractive.
Honestly, I would say, and I know I'm a one in this scale. I'm fine with that. I'd say 5 or 6. I mean, maybe.
5?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. That's harsh.
I don't find her attractive.
Let's talk to Eddie. It's not like Kirsten Dunst, who played Mary Jane Watson in the Spider movies, who was an actress and supposed to be a model. I mean, that
it's
was
exactly
much more
like
ridiculous.
That.
No, it's not.
It's exactly like that.
Well, it's obviously not because those are not. A DA is not a job that predicates itself on physical attraction, whereas a model is.
That's the beauty of the movie world, is that everyone doesn't have to be as ugly as we are in real life. That's the beauty of it. Why can't she be attractive and have a good personality?
Most women would like to be as attractive as Maggie Gyllenhaal.
No,
most women are not.
That's true.
No.
It's totally true.
No.
Eddie is in Van Nuys. He's on line 2 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. Hey, Ed, go ahead.
Hey, What It Do. So basically, I took my kids to the McDonald's and one of them, you know, they have those big playpens, right? So one of them ended up peeing on the top over this netting over some people down there that were.
Were there people eating McDonald's food at the time?
Yeah. What happens is by the time she went over them, by the time the lady looked up, she already had passed through there, so she was basically dripping. So the lady kept looking up. So I think she thought maybe that some kid was throwing water at her.
Oh, that's the best.
But no, it was urine.
Yeah, that is not a good dining experience. That's why kids shouldn't be allowed to go to McDonald's. That's my motto.
That's why you take it home. You don't eat there.
That's a great story.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee? Speaking of bodily fluids, let's try Chris in Downey. He's on line 4. Hi, Chris. What it do, nephew?
Hey, how you doing? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, watching Hurl, second episode already, and you guys have the creator on the show a while back, and they were making a big deal about the hurl, the throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yet every time someone hurls, they censor it.
Yeah,
oh,
that's weird because on TV shows, you know, they
every other one
scripted
shows the hurl.
When people throw up, they show it.
Oh, just threw up. Color beyond.
And this one is called Hurl.
Exactly.
That is really odd.
And yes.
What's up with that?
I just threw up in my mouth.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
They should embrace the hurl is what you're saying.
That's exactly
it's called hurl, for God's sakes.
Let's go to Heather in Claremont. Good morning, Heather.
How'd it do, nephew?
How'd it do?
Hi, Heather.
So, how come none of you have brought up that Tom Cruise, that total freak, told his wife not to do the next Batman movie, and it ended up being the best Batman ever, and she's missing out on all this money?
I don't know if I ever heard that.
I wondered what was going on, why she wasn't in it, but I guessed it was some kind of top
Maybe
secret.
Maybe they'd announce it.
Scientology thing? I don't know.
Did you hear it, Ralph?
I heard that
he was against her going back and
so they did
that.
Want her again?
I can't imagine they wouldn't have. I mean, you want to keep the cast as intact as possible.
They seem to change him out, the women.
But it's the same character, Lisa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not playing a new girl.
They don't do that very often where they don't even make any reference to it. They just have somebody else play it.
Yeah.
But
no, I think he's holding her hostage and locking her up and making her do bad movies so that she can never work ever again.
Well, that sounds like...
Well, she would have been in a much bigger hit than he's been in lately had she agreed to this role.
No,
that's for sure.
You didn't.
And I don't know how that hurts him, but...
Yeah, it's good. K-Y.
Thank you very much. I want to thank our special guest on today's Kevin and Bean Show, Frank Shamrock, for joining us. He, of course, is the CBS Television MMA broadcast analyst for The Big Fight. This is the Elite XC, which is going to be this Saturday night at 9, live from Stockton. Please check that out. And also thanks to our friend John Henson for joining us. Again, Wipeout, smash it on ABC. They show the hurling on that program, and that's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Tomorrow morning, Seth Green will be in studio talking about that robot chicken Star Wars. We are going to talk about Peeping Toms because she's not an ex-employee, but she's our ex-receptionist.
Right. Yeah.
Super hot Janelle went down to Mexico, and there was a Peeping Tom down there.
And that luckiest guy, Peeping Tom ever.
That guy scored because you got to know, just playing the odds, that's not going to be very many hot.
It's a coin flip. Yeah. You never know what you're going to see when you go through those blinds.
Kevin, what happens if you're Peeping Tom tonight like you do and it's Maggie Gyllenhaal? What happens if you look over the fence and it's Maggie Gyllenhaal undressing? What do you do?
Throw up.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
No, it's not that bad. But she just, that's just, come on with that.
Remember when Kevin saw The Godfather and he said Marlon Brando wasn't good looking enough to be a crime boss?
How dare you.
I just threw up.
He hated that movie for that.
And people who dress up their pets and or dress up themselves for photos with their pets.
The only worse than dressing up your pets is dressing up for your pets.
All right.
Anyone have anything to say?
In my defense, I wasn't dressing up for Tater Tot. Tater Tot didn't know that I was wearing a silly outfit. I didn't do it for her.
You said, and I quote, Tater Tot wanted to dress up for Bastille Day. Did you not?
I don't recall saying that. No, I don't.
Oh, how convenient.
I said that she was celebrating Bastille Day with her impression of a French bulldog. Exactly.
She was celebrating Bastille Day. That's right. What you said the dog was doing.
With her impersonation of a French bulldog.
Let's wait till tomorrow to get Ralph's reaction to when you made that comment.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm too angry to speak right now.
Yeah,
you can see the photo at stronglywordedletter.com, and I think probably tomorrow we'll put it up at krock.com, too.
Yes,
anyway, all of that tomorrow morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kat Corbett is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Is she attractive enough to be a disc jockey, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Nope, not long to Kevin.
Are you high?
Red Hot Chili Peppers will be part of that. Also, that band called Pepper. We got Rage Against the Machine, Foo Fighters, and more, all coming up after this.